Krishna, Krishna, చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధా కొండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namo Om Shupadaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale. Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminidhi Namine Namaste Saraswati Gauravani Pajarini Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
ಓಂ
ನಮೋ ಭಗವದೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹ್ಯ ಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಂ ಉದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾಲ್. ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವಸಾಗರೇ. ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ. ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋಸ್ತವ ಜಾಯದೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವನ್ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ. ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಭಾವ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ. ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿತರದಸ್ ಚಾತೇಷ್ವಭಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾನ್ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದ ಯ ಆದಿಗವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂದಿಯಲ್ ಸೂರಯಃ. ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿ ಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತ ಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ. ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜ್ಜಿತ ಕೈದವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮಲ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸದಾ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ. ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಭಾಗವದೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿ ಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾ ಪರೈ ಈಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯ ನೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತಲ್ಕ್ಷಣಾಲ್. ನಿಗಮಗಲ್ಪನರೋರ್ಗಲಿದಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಕಮುಖಾದ ಮೃದದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುಧಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವದಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಕಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾಃ. ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವಲ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇದವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ. ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂದಂ ಅನುಪೇದಂ ಅಪೇದ ಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈಪಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹ ಕಾದರ ಮಾಜುಹಾವ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿ ತನ್ಮಯದಯ ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತ ಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಂ ಆನದೋಸ್ಮಿ. ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಗಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಂ ಅತಿದಿದೀರ್ಷದಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣ ಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನಂ ಉಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯಿಲ್. ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರ ಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೆ ಕಲವೇಣು ಕುಣಿತಾದೃದಾನನೆಂದೋ ಮಮ ವಾಚಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭದ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರೆನ್ನ ಕನಿಕಾಪಿ ಕಾಪಿ ಕಾವಿ. ನಮಾಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣೇ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಣಶ ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗದೋಲ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ. ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾಣವೇ ನಮಃ. ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತ ಚಕ್ರ ಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಮತಿಸುಂದರ ಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲಯೇಶ ಮನಿಷಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ. ಕೋಮಲಂ ಕೂಜಯನ್ ವೇಣುಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಳೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಗ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಭಾಸದಾಂ ಪುರತೋ ಮಮ. ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋದಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯದೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ. ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ, ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ರಾಧಿಕಾಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ, ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ. ಸೊ ಟೂ ವೀಕ್ಸ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ವಿ ವರ್ discussing the from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 8th canto. the churning of the milk ocean, Kshirabdhi Madanam, as it's referred to in the Bhagavatam. So, at the end of that, in the 8th canto, what you will see there is that after the story of Gajendra, Gajendra Moksham, and then the story of this churning of the milk ocean, then Sukadeva Goswami goes in to try to cover so many Manu's time in one chapter. Because of the concern for time, that the time was too short, and because there was so much to talk about, Sukadeva Goswami decided at that point, Shishugan says to Parikshit Maharaj, that because of this time limit, I am now going to tell you so many things from the different Manu's times. And that is how the next chapter begins. So, in that process, you will see that in one chapter alone, so far we were always discussing from the Swayambhu Manu's time, all the activities in Swayambhu Manu's time we were covering, right up to the whole of 7th canto even, is all what has happened in one Manu's time. So, if we to get a feel for time, we should look at it this way, that a day of Lord Brahma, which has got 1000 Chaturyugas. One Chaturyuga means Kritam, Treta, Dwabaram, Kali. 4 Yugas. Or Satyugam, Treta Yugam, Dwabara Yugam, Kali Yugam. So these 4 Yugas make one Chaturyugam. And thousands of these Chaturyugas makes one day of Lord Brahma. So, which is known as Kalpam. So, it is in one of those Kalpams, what's happening in this Varaha Kalpam, what is known as Varaha Kalpam today, that we are discussing the Srimad Bhagavatam from there, in this one particular day of Lord Brahma. So, you can imagine how big the Bhagavatam will be if we compile all the days of Lord Brahma together and start discussing that. Srimad Bhagavatam will not be able to finish in our lifetime to once to read it. So that's so big. That is why Sudeva Goswami has picked only important things. And after finishing the Swayambhu Manu's time, then he moved on to the other Manus. For example, the second Manu known as Swarochisha Manus. Time is covered there. And then the 4 Manus, Uttamam, Tamasam, Raivadam and Chakshusham. The 4 Manus are covered very, very, very fast. And eventually he comes into this our particular Manu, who is now ruling, who is known as Vaivasvata Manu or Shardadeva. His time is being discussed in this next chapter. But when we discuss all these things, it is not, the intention is not to understand the story. Story, one should know what is this, all these different Manu's activities, and generally every Manu's time, what is known as Manvantara Shalkam. Manvantara Shalkam means Krishna, according to his system, the way it has been structured, is that in every Manu's time, there are 6 different things, what is already set up by the higher arrangement, by Krishna's arrangement. It is like that. The 6 things are, 1, the Manu, who is the Manu, is decided already. Then who will be Manu's children in this Manu's time, that is also decided. Then the 3rd thing is, who will be the Indra in that time. For example, the Indra today is known as Purandara. Purandara is Indra's name at the moment, who is occupying. Indra is the position or the title given to the authority on the heavenly planets. So current Indra is known as Purandara. And then all the demigods, who should be the demigods, that is also decided then. Then what else is decided? So first of all, Manu is decided, who his children will be, that's decided. Indra is decided, all the demigods, they are decided. Then there are two more things. One, who are the great seven sages who will help Indra and all the Manus in establishing the religious principles. The great seven sages, they are also, they are known as Saptarishis. That's also decided. In addition to all that, there is one most important factor in all these things, is the partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is going to be in each of the Manu's time, that is also decided. So these six things constitutes what is known as Manvantara Shalkam. So for every Manu, these six things changes. So that's how it is. So for example, in this 1000 Chaturyugas of a day of Lord Brahma, there is totally 14 Manus. That is how it is divided. 14 Manus will rule this 1000 Chaturyugas. So in other words, every Manu has 71 Chaturyugas under his administration. He will have 71 Chaturyugas time he has to rule. And these 71 Chaturyugas means each Chaturyuga means Kritam Traida Dwavaram Kali, similarly 71 times. So it's a long period of time. And for this 71 Chaturyugas, these six entities, namely the Manu, his children, Indra, the demigods, the seven sages, and the expansion of the partial expansion of Krishna, who will be in control. So like that, they manage the administration of this universe. This is how it is managed. So these things are discussed in the 8th canto, which is known as Manvantarajipati. Manvantaram Ishanukatha Nirodho Muktirashraya. Srimad Bhagavatam says there that Manvantaram, Manus, different Manus, how they ruled this world, that is what it is discussed there. So if you go on like this, then what happens after the 7th Manu, then 8th, 9th, 10th, onwards, right up to the 14th Manu, one whole chapter discusses who are these six entities in each of these Manu's time. That is why one whole chapter you will notice there that it talks only about these things. Who is in control? Who is the seven sages? Who is the incarnation of Krishna? Who will manage the affairs in conjunction with the Manus? So like this, time is divided, and like this, everything has already been set up by the superior arrangement. So this, after discussion in that chapter, in another chapter, what's known as the why this has been set up like this. This is also, we have to know that. Why a setup has been created like this? Normally, people who are atheistic, who do not believe in the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or do not accept that there is a higher energy or higher authority above us, who keeps this whole cosmic manifestation going on, they have this difficulty to accept that somebody else is controlling this. It's a very difficult thing for them. So therefore, they get into manufacturing different systems of administration. And the result of that is that never it gets into any happy situation. Always there is confusion among the public, and also there is always the politics comes along with it. But because it is Krishna's control, and Krishna is controlling everything, Krishna has set up a system like this. And here in this one chapter, Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj how this system works. And that is also important thing to know, because when we do not understand the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our tendency is always to manufacture things to suit us. That's what we do, the next thing. But if we understand how Krishna has set it up, that this system has been going on from time immemorial and will continue to go on, and the result is that if you abide by that system, then it brings happiness to this human society and to the other living entities as well. But if we ignore that system, and if we manufacture our own systems, then we are bound to end up in fail, bound to fail in the system. Our system is likely to fail. It will not work. And that we always know that from our own experience in this world. So what normally happens is that every Chaturyugam, Kritam, Treta, Dwaparam, Kali, these four Chaturyugas, the important thing is the four principles of religion. What are the four principles of religion? Satyam, Daya, Tapasya and Dhanam. What are the truthfulness, mercifulness, austerities and charity? These are the four legs of the religious principles. These four things will hold religious principles strongly. And therefore, it is known as Dharma. Dharma means Chatushpat. Chatushpat means it has got these four legs. In the spiritual language, it is referred to as Chatushpat. So this Chatushpat with the Satyam, Daya, Tapas and Dhanam, or in other words, truthfulness, mercifulness, and austerities, and charity. These four things hold the religious principles. In Satyugam, these four things are in 100% in the human society. That is the beauty of Satyugam. In other words, Satyugam, people do not have any difficulty in following a religious path. That makes their life a lot easier. In other words, they know that they are aware that the human life is meant for austerities, human life is meant for to be truthful, human life is meant to be merciful to other living entities, and also human life is meant to perform charitable activities. So with all these things behind, 100% in operation, Satyugam becomes one of the finest yugas in the out of the four. That is the time people are only engaged in going back to the spiritual world, simply engaged in cultivating spiritual life and practicing the austerities required in the process of self-realization. So that is the important thing in the Satyugam. But as time goes down, as Kritayugam, then Tredayugam, Dwabarayugam and Kaliyugam, in each yuga, this will reduce by 25%. Or in other words, as much as from Satyugam to Kritayugam, when you come down, automatically everything comes to 75%. Satyam, Tapasya, Daya and Dhanam, all these four things becomes 75% among the people. And similarly, when it comes to Dwabarayugam, it becomes 50%. And when it comes to Kaliyugam, it becomes 25%. So this is the age we are in, where there is 25%, approximately 25% truthfulness, 25% charity, 25% mercifulness, and 25% austerities. This is what we have got today. As and when this Kali Yuga is advancing, as it goes further and further, naturally it is bound to decrease. And by the end of Kali Yuga, it has to come to a zero, completely zero. So in other words, what we have to observe is that Kali Yuga advancing, these human qualities will diminish in us. We will reduce them day by day, and our lifestyle will be very much close to the animal's life, and that we won't be very much different from the animals in many, many ways. That is how our intelligence will change, our understanding will change, and we will become more and more closer to the animal platform. So as it advances like that, by the end of Kali Yuga, a stage will come that all these four have totally escaped, finished. So it is then that the religious principles also come to an extinction, that Krishna comes back again into bring this back into the system. How does that work? This is the question. So, in one chapter, Sri Sukadeva Goswami, Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj how the system works. So, the six entities we talked about, like the Manu and his children, and the demigods and Indra, and the seven sages, and Krishna's partial incarnation. So, when he was talking about this, Parikshit Maharaj was very curious to know who is that partial incarnation in this particular Manu's time. And that is how the story of Vamana, Lord Vamana's story, has come in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That Parikshit Maharaj was curious to know who was actually the partial expansion of Krishna for this particular age. And then Sri Sukadeva Goswami had to bring the story of Lord Vamanadeva or Vamanamurti's incarnation in the Shrimad Bhagavatam. So prior to moving into Amaramurti's story, which runs into many, many chapters, there are a lot of other things what is discussed there. For example, it mentions there that by the end of Kali Yuga, the Vedas will virtually disappear from this world. Virtually it will disappear. In other words, even today you can see that the in the beginning of Kali Yuga, most of the Vedic literature, particularly the mantras in the Vedic literature, have already been lost. So as time advances, even what is limited is available, we will not be able to protect it, because people will deviate from the protection of the Vedic literature and they will follow paths which are not helpful in preserving the Vedic tradition. So that's why, as the time passes, people will find it very, very hard to take to the Vedic mantras, Vedic sacrifices, everything. So it says that by the end of the Kali Yuga, even very, very simple mantras in the Vedas, for example, Swaha, Swadha, Vashal, like this one or two or three, like letters, mantras, even those things will not be available, or people will forget how to use them or where to use them. They will even have forgotten that. To such an extent, the society will deteriorate from deviate from the Vedic tradition. When that happens, it is then that these great seven sages comes back. Krishna's arrangement is so perfect that people have always this anxiety in this world that they feel that if I do not make propaganda and preach the religion, what will happen to our religion? This fear is there in so many people's mind. So they always think that I have to propagate and make as many number as possible, bring them into our religion. This is one of the most interesting factors in the religious propaganda, to increase the number. Because if you increase the number, then the understanding is that this will stay forever, because everybody is in our group, then it should stay forever. But it doesn't work like that. Unfortunately, Krishna's arrangement is a little different. What Krishna says is that as much as the time passes, people will lose their qualities and they will come to animals' platform. So if you have a large number of cats and dogs together, that doesn't help. What's important is those who are left in religious life, they should have the highest principles of religion. So because of this reason, by the end of Kali Yuga, when all the Vedic literature is totally lost, the great seven sages will reinvent the same mantras what were lost, and they will bring back the whole Vedic literature back into life again. And that is why when the next Krita Yugam or Sati Yugam begins. So this is how Krishna's arrangement is. That as time passes, Krishna's system is such, as time passes, we will lose our own religious principles. Religious principles will be lost. We will also lose our ability to practice religious principles. And eventually, when it comes to dasyuprayeshu, Srimad Bhagavatam says that people will become like thieves and dacoits. That is their qualification. To that extent, they will come to that level. At that time, the next Krita Yugam begins, and by then, all the great sages. This is why these seven sages are kept in that position. That's their responsibility. At the end of the Kali Yugam, they have to bring back the Vedic literature back into life again. So, spiritual life and religious principles is controlled by Krishna, not by us. Krishna is in control and Krishna dictates to us. This is the process we have to follow. If we follow that process, then we are leading the spiritual life. But on the other hand, if we simply engage in thinking that simply increasing the number is the only thing I have to do in this world, but if we don't follow it, what we have been told to do, then that religious principles are no good. Because at the end of the day, that Krishna's plans are already set up there. Administration is completely under Krishna's control, and that is how it works. So these great seven sages, which is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, who those great seven sages are for this particular Manu's time. So they have that responsibility to bring back the whole Vedic tradition back into this planet again. So that is that the responsibility of the sages. In addition to that, the Vedic sacrifices, which is virtually coming to an extinction now, because of the advancement of the Kali Yuga, then the people who are qualified to execute the Vedic sacrifices, they are also coming less and less by day. The people who are qualified to do that is diminishing, and this will continue because with the advent of the Kali, people will become more involved in materialistic consciousness, and they will forget that the instructions of Krishna, that these sacrifices which are meant bhoktaram yajna davasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrdam sarvabhudanam yatvamam shantim rachareem, that these yajnam or these sacrifices are meant to bring happiness to the human society. That is why they were given to us. So more we perform sacrifices, we will please the demigods. And with the result is that parasparam bhavayanna, that mutually they help us, we perform sacrifices and they provide us our livelihood. This is how we are meant to live. But not that we are meant to run to the factory every morning and work 8 to 10 hours. That is an artificial lifestyle we have created. But from the spiritual point of view, Krishna's arrangement is like this, that bhoktaram yajnadavasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrdam sarvabhudanam yatvamam shantim ruchadim. Then if we perform this, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that performing sacrifices, sarvaloka maheshwaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with that. And the result that suhrdam sarvabhudanam, all the living entities are provided with all their necessities. Yatvamam shantim ruchadim. That automatically peace will come to the society. But we will not be able to do that because of the advancement of the age of Kali. Al-Kali will tell us in our mind, that's not the way to go, this is the way to go. We start working, our own manufacturing, our own ideas will develop. So anyway, at that point in time, the Vedic sacrifices will be brought back by the sages. This is another interesting thing. The sages have such a lot of responsibility. At the end of Kali Yuga, before the Kali Yuga begins, they have to bring back the Vedas, all the Vedic mantras back. They have to bring back the Vedic sacrifices as well. And when the Vedic sacrifices are brought back, all the demigods who are responsible, they will start interacting with the human society again. That is why you find in the Kriya Yugam and Treta Yugam also, to a large extent, that the reciprocation of the relationship between the demigods and the human society is far, far higher than what is in Kali Yugam. By Kali Yugam, demigods doesn't want to know anything about us because they have written us off and we have also written them off. And this is our difficulty. That's why in this age, we have no sacrifices to please the demigods, and demigods do not have any interest in our life. They have virtually because we do not offer them what is due for them. So these sacrifices, Vedic sacrifices, which has been left behind by the human society, that will be brought back again in the Kriya Yugam by the sages. So sages have got this responsibility. Now, in addition to that, what is the responsibility of the Manu? Manu has the administrative responsibility. Manuantaradhipati, as he is referred to, Svayambhu Manu, Sarojasha Manu, Uttama Manu, Tamasa Manu, Raivata Manu, all these great Manus, they are people who have administered this planet according to the instruction of the Supreme Lord. Because they do not deviate, because they see on a long period of time, they have to perform their actions. Obviously, in the Satyugam, they will act in one particular way. In Kali Yugam, they will be in a different way. And to support these Manus, their sons like Ikshvaku and others, so many other great kings, they support the Manus in their activities. So Manus and the demigods, Manus' children, and Indra, who controls the demigods, who has in the responsibility of the demigods, he supervises all their activities. Indra has the additional responsibility that when the human society is responding properly according to the injunctions of the Shastra, he also has to ensure that the human society is provided with all the necessities for the maintaining their life in this world. Or in other words, when the sacrifices are performed, in response to that, Indra and the demigods has to provide us our necessities. And to keep this whole system functioning properly, Krishna's partial expansion known as Yajnamurti, or in other words, the partial incarnation of Krishna, will also make these, provide them with all, encourage them, or in other words, different encourage them
from inside to act in the proper way. So in other words, you can see that even the top managers of this creation is controlled by Krishna from behind. Krishna is actually controlling them, even them from behind. What to talk about ordinary living entities like us. But because it is set up like that, that system is never bound to fail. It will continue like that. Kritam Traida Dwabaram Kali. One after the other, four yugas will come. The next end, things will deteriorate. Again, it will come back and again the system will start. So, this is the original setup of the religious process in this world. This is not a new system. This has been always existing and it will always exist in the same way. Whether we propaganda, whether we make preach or whether we propaganda or we do this or that, it doesn't matter. The higher laws will work. The higher laws are controlled by Krishna's arrangement. Now, what happens then is that when this process is going on continuously in this world, people automatically are bound or meant to live according to the injunctions of the Shastra. That is what is expected of us. If we follow the injunctions of the Shastra, then there will be no difficulty. Everything will work out properly. But due to the influence of Kali, these things may not be possible. That is what we find today in this planet. That most of us are somehow or the other prevented from completely fulfilling the requirements of what is expected of us. That's of course due to the effect of the Kali. But whatever it is, the important thing to remember is that we should never think that we are in control of the religious life in this world. It never happens like that. That is precisely the reason from many, many millions of years ago in the Vedic tradition, it was never necessary to propagate it. Because this was the system whole world has followed. It was always following this system. It was all the other religions that has come up much later in the very recent times. Only that too in the Kali Yuga this has appeared. Not even before that. And starting from Buddhism itself, the other processes have come up in the recent times. And precisely for this reason, many people ask why Vedic tradition has no name. No name has been given to this. Somebody says it is Hinduism. Somebody says it is Sanatana Dharma. Somebody says it is Samadha Dharma. This Dharma, that Dharma. But in reality, there is no name given to it. Why? Why is that? That you can understand if you think about it this way. That you have to give names to something only if there is two or three existing. Then only you have to call it by different names. But something which was existing all the time throughout the planet and which never required, there had no competition from anybody else. Everyone automatically followed that. That process is the Vedic system. Vedic system was like that. So, but when competition started, when other processes have come up, then we started calling, oh, this has to be given a name, that has to be given a name, something else has to be given a name. So all the different names have come about. Otherwise, there was no need for a name to be given because, strictly speaking, everybody in the planet followed the Vedic way of life. In other words, Vedic tradition was predominant to such an extent throughout the planet. Only we have got a history of now, today, something like reasonable history about 2000 years. And with this 2000 years history, we are trying to judge the whole thing. Whereas, Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, each Chaturyugam, if you take, Kali Yugam alone is 432,000 years. And in that, over 5,000 years have gone. So it's only telling you that we are such a small piece of information what we have got here, except to take the shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and try to understand from Bhagavatam how the time has been divided by Krishna's arrangement. It's not possible to understand. That is why the important significance of understanding this 8th canto. In this 8th canto, very categorically it is explained there. Religious process, sometimes we think that our religion or my religion should stay here in this world, so I should make as much propaganda as necessary and bring everyone into my belief and faith. Otherwise, what will happen tomorrow? It may become extinct. But that is not how it works. The principle involved in religious life, in spiritual life, is that if there is one person who follows instructions of Krishna seriously, that will change the whole world. That will affect the whole world. So that's the most important thing. And as time passes, you will not be able to sustain whatever process of religion you have manufactured in this world, because with the advent of time, your religious principles will fail. That is not approved by Krishna. Krishna's religious principles will stay in this world. That is the Vedic tradition known as Krishna's breathing. All the Vedas are considered to be Krishna's breathing. So this Vedic system, Vedic philosophy will exist in this world forever. And only thing you will find, and depending on the time in the four yugas, it may be up or down depending on the circumstances at that particular time. But control is very much controlled remotely by Krishna's arrangement. So this is the discussion in the next chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, when this discussion happened between Parikshit Maharaj and Sudev Goswami, there was an important factor that came about. That in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find that the in the beginning, in the first chapter itself, that there was a Sudev Goswami arrived in Naimisharanyam. Naimisharanyam was the place where Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. So when Sudha Goswami arrived there, Sudha Paurani, as is referred to, when he arrived there, all the great sages who were present there, thousands of sages were there, and the head of all of them was Shaunagrishi. Shaunagrishi was present there with the other sages. And the sages put forward a number of questions to Sudha Goswami. So in answer to that, in answer to all these questions from the sages, Sudha Goswami started answering one by one. But one point Sudha Goswami mentioned there very clearly, that I heard everything from Sudeva Goswami when he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. Out of the many people who were sitting there, I was also sitting there in one corner, and I was listening to everything what he spoke. And I have come here under his instructions, and I will talk to you Srimad Bhagavatam. This is how the Srimad Bhagavatam begins. In there you will see that two words he used there, Sudha Goswami, very specifically he has used them. Yathādhītam yathāmadhi, that don't expect me that I will tell you everything what I have heard from Sudev Goswami. Yathādhītam yathāmadhi, that whatever my little intelligence has managed to capture or managed to obtain from Sudev Goswami, what I have understood, I will pass that understanding to you. This is how he mentioned. In other words, Sudev Goswami was, whatever he has spoken, Sudev Goswami's realizations, Sudev Goswami's expansion of Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be done by Sudha Goswami, who admits that at the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam itself. To indicate that as time passes, our understanding also of Srimad Bhagavatam will come down. It is also a fact that as much as you can see today, that as the time is passing on, Srimad Bhagavatam is becoming more and more a difficult subject to study and discuss. Why? Because of our mind and the intelligence, which has been polluted by all the lower qualities or lower modes of nature. It will not allow us to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we will question Bhagavatam, the bona fide it or not. And then you will also check it out whether this Srimad Bhagavatam is a mythology or this or that. All kinds of excuses we will find not to study Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what we will do. So that there will be an easy excuse. You read some newspaper and think that scientists have told there is so much humbug in these Puranas and Upanishads, and everything should be thrown into the sea. Study our scientific books. It will help you to understand the whole planetary system, where the Mars is, when it comes closer to the Earth, how far it will go away, and you can get your telescope and look at it in the night and finally feel happy about it. You got the truth. What more do you want? I've given you everything. Scientists, we know everything. These things should be thrown away. This is how they will present it. This is the Kali. Kali's nature is like this. It will make us... Therefore, fully knowing all these things, Vedavyasa Maharshi, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, says very clearly, Mandaha Everything in the Kali Yuga will be like this. Slowly, slowly, everything. No rush. What's the urgency to cultivate spiritual life? It can be done at the old age. Why worry about it? Mandaha. Mandaha, that is not too bad. If it is slow, it doesn't matter. But then the next thing is what? Sumandamadayaha. That not only mandaha, sumandamadayaha. Sumandamadaya means that madhi means intelligence. Even if you say something, it will take a long time to click into the head. This is the problem. That even if you explain things many, many times, it says it will take a long time to get that into the head. Why? Sumandamadayaha. So, mandaha, sumandamadayaha. Then what else? Even if it, these two, it doesn't matter. And more than anything else, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Mandabhagyaha. They are very, very unfortunate people also. Mandasu mandamadayo mandabhagyahyubadrudaha. Srimad Bhagavatam says that this is the nature of the people in the age of Kali. They will have these three difficulties in achieving, in understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. That Srimad Bhagavatam, which the great, great acharyas who relished and cherished it all the time in their life, and who gave this literature, transcendental literature, to us to follow in our life. And we will look at Srimad Bhagavatam and wonder, Mandasu mandamadayo mandabhagyahyuvadrudaha. That we will be thinking, when should we start? And we'll keep it there till Ajamila's time, 88 years old. We'll buy the book and keep it at home, and we'll start reading when we are 88. That's what we think is the best time to start. So this is the difficulty of the Kali Yuga. That Srimad Bhagavatam, that this Srimad Bhagavatam, when it was spoken, at the end of the discussion between Suta Goswami and Shaunak Rishi and all the other sages, Krishna came to the spot and asked this question to them. What did you understand from Srimad Bhagavatam? It's an important question. Krishna had asked this question to them. What did you, for so many days, you were reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and what did you understand from that? This question, it's in the end of the Bhagavatam. You can see this question was asked by Krishna to them, that what have you understood from Srimad Bhagavatam? In addition to that, in relationship with that, all the sages together reply to Krishna this way. Patida skalido varta Shutvava vivasho bhruvan haraye nama ityuchai muchyade sarva padagal. Patidas kalidho vartha shutvava vivasho bhruvan haraye nama ityuchai muchyade sarva padagal. This was the answer. What does that mean? It means patidas kalidho vartha. A person in life, in the early days when he is healthy and strong, he wanders around with his chest high, thinking that I have complete control on myself, I have nothing to worry about. But as time passes, he understands that he is also sometimes prone to falling down, that any time he can collapse one. Sometimes you see in the paper, people suddenly left the body and gone. And then they take him for the post-mortem and check what has happened, why he has gone, where he has gone. There's no sign of the person. He is gone. And they're checking him. Post-mortem is going on here. What post-mortem can help you at that time? The person has gone somewhere else. He had left his position here for us to manage the rest. So this is what it is. But the so-called manda sumanda madayo will come in and will start post-mortem to find out why did he die. And then investigation starts, inquiry, all sorts of things will go on. But what can help? So here, it says there, patidas kalido vartha chutvava vivasho bhruvan. That somehow or the other, when one falls down at the end in life, he feels that this body is not permanent. It will drop off one day. And when one comes to that realization strongly, then what should he do? Patidas kalido vartha chutvava vivasho bhruvan. Vivasham means helpless, totally, completely helpless. He's ready to leave the body. Or in other words, he comes to understand that I cannot live in this body forever. For different people, this realization comes at different times in life. Somebody who can come to that sense earlier in life, it's good. But some people, it can take a very, very long time, either being kicked by material nature or by some superior arrangement, one comes to that realization. But when the moment one comes to that, Sutvava vivasho bruven, that even if one has come to that situation, Srimad Bhagavatam says, what should he do? He should say, Haraye Nama. He should say like this, Haraye Nama. All my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, Krishna. Ityuchai, as loudly as possible. Then, Muchyade Sarva Padagal. That he will be released from all his sinful reactions. Sinful reactions or sinful activities as caused is going to bring another body. For example, those who believe in this recycling process, or in other words, whether we have to accept another body or not, many people don't even accept that. They have doubts about it. They are still thinking that as soon as I leave this body, I go up and I live still comfortably more on another planet, or things like that. There's so many. But Vedic information or Vedic knowledge is very clear about this, that that body you have to change. There is no question about that. You have to continuously change your body. In the Bhagavad Gita also, what does Krishna say? Krishna says, Jadasya hi dhruvo mrityur dhruvam janma mridasya ja tasmad abariharyate natvam shojitum arhasi. Krishna says to Arjuna that Jadasya hi dhruvo mrityur, that for one who has taken birth, he has to die. Dhruvam janma mridasya ja. Similarly, one who is dead, he has to accept another body. Now you may ask this question, where is the proof that I died and I have accepted another body? For example, the medicine for stopping this process of dying and taking rebirth again, and this continuous process of dying and taking birth, there is no medicine for that. There is no medicine available. But how to stop that process? There is a medicine. And those who have invented that medicine are the great sages. They have the sages knew what is the process by which you can stop this process of dying and taking rebirth. Now, when we die, if we accept that we had changed so many times the body, at least we can accept this one point, that when we were dead the last time, we couldn't stop that birth again. That is why we have come back in another body again. Similarly, even during this lifetime, when we are born in particular body, and before we give up this body, in this time also is the only time that is left for us to stop this process of taking another birth, after death, taking another birth. So in other words, in reality, from the Vedic point of view, actually stopping the death means stopping this process of recycling, or in other words, changing the body one after the other. And that is what it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So therefore, when Krishna says that Jadasya hi dhruvo mrityur dhruvam janma mridasya ya tasmad abariharyate natvam shojitum arhasi, that there is no point in lamenting about it, Krishna says to Arjuna. But when Krishna said that to Arjuna, what it meant was that unless one, later on in the Bhagavad Gita you will find that if you want to come out of this cycle of birth and death, there is no other way except to take the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So those who accept the Vedic concept that we are spirit soul is accepting different bodies at different times, and when one has to mrtyu samsara sagaral, that the constant change of body is our main problem, and therefore Bhagavatam says that kaivalyega prayojanam, Srimad Bhagavatam is for those also who wants to stop this process of recycle. For them also, Srimad Bhagavatam can help them in this process. So, the important thing is that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things were explained. And when the sages started asking these questions to, including Shaunakrishi, raised this question to Sudha Goswami. Sudha Goswami has spoken two lines there in the first chapter. And with those two lines, Sudha Goswami told to Shaunakrishi and also to all the other sages who were present there, that unless one take shelter of the holy name of Krishna, there is no other way one can escape from this process of rebirth. Process of rebirth, one cannot escape from that. That is how it was mentioned there. That in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the beginning itself, that who will not take shelter of Krishna's name? That is how it begins. Who will not take shelter of Krishna's name? Yad bhibedi swayam bhayam. That is how mentions there. That bhayam personified or fear personified is frightened of Krishna's name. That is the potency of Krishna's name. That even the fear personified is frightened of Krishna. So it's mentions there in the Srimad Bhagavatam like that. So up to this eighth canto, up to this situation, what we have talked about is all in reference to this one particular point, that somehow or the other we should be encouraged to chant the holy name of Krishna all the time. This is what is expected from us. And that is what Sukadeva Goswami is talking to Parikshit. Sruta Goswami is talking to Shavanakarishi. Throughout in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find this one point repeated again and again and again. Chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. Because there is no other shelter. Like Mahaprabhu said, Harer Nama, Harer Namam, Harer Nameva Kevalam, Kalo Nasyeva, Nasyeva, Nasyeva Gadiranyatham. That there is no other way, there is no other way. Why? Manda Sumanda Madayo, Manda Bhagya, Hivadrudaha. That this is what we are. And in that process, that this is what is expected from us, to chant this holy name. So whenever we are chanting Hare Krishna, we should chant loudly. That's also very important. Especially in the kirtan, we shouldn't sit quiet. We should chant as loudly as possible of the holy names of Krishna. That will change our heart. Will take away all that accumulated problems in our mind and purify the heart to become Krishna conscious. Because Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skandam very clearly, Yadha yadalpa parimrujyate sau malpunya ghada shravana bhidani. When should you hear about Krishna? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this question Uddhava asked Krishna. Yadha yadalpa parimrujyate sau malpunya ghada shravana bhidani. That as and when, just like if you employ a servant to clean some place, the servant is asking you, how often should I clean? If you tell the servant, that servant says to you, shall I clean 3 times a day, 10 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and 6 o'clock in the evening? That doesn't mean anything, because you have employed him to keep the place clean. That means any time, whenever there is a dust, or when there's a strong wind, or any strong change in the weather, when there is dust in the place, it should be cleaned up straight away. You cannot say that I'll do it 3 times a day or 4 times a day. As and when there is dust or there is dirt, it should be cleaned up. Krishna says to Uddhava, Yatha yathalpa parimrujyate sau malpunya ghada shravana bhidhanehi. That as and when there you find that there is dirt or there is filth in the consciousness or lower modes of nature has attacked you, immediately you should hear about Krishna. Or in other words, unless one remains in the mode of goodness, it's very difficult to develop Krishna consciousness. Yatha yadalpa parimrujyate sau malpunya ghada shravana bhidhanehi tadha tadha pasyadi vastu sushmam tadha tadha pasyadi vastu sushmam chakshuddivai anjana samprayuktam. What Krishna says is that tadha tadha pasyadi, as and when it is done like that, automatically you will see with your eyes, tadha tadha pasyari vastu sushmam. Vastu sushmam, what is vastu sushmam? The most confidential thing, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in your heart. This realization will come to you. That's what Krishna is saying to Uddhava. Chakshuddhirivai anjana samprayuktam. Just like the cataract is there in the eye, when it's removed, how one's vision gets good and one can see things very clearly. In the same way, the super soul and the living entity within the heart who is situated, he will realize that he has a relationship with the Supreme Lord and he is a part and parcel of Krishna and he is living entity. All these realizations will come. So from this you can see why we don't realize any of these things. Because there is so much inside the dirt and that has not been cleaned up. And because it's not clean, because it is the dirt that has accumulated from so many lifetimes and whatever we have added on in this lifetime, all together is covering everything. Yatha yad alpa parimrujyade so malpunya ghada shravana bhidane tatha tatha pasyadi vastu sushvam chakshuddivai anjana samprayuktam. So Krishna says to Uddhava that unless and until that is cleaned up, we will not realize anything. We will not realize that the Supreme Personality is inside listening to all our requirements, all our needs and our desires. Everything is automatically reciprocated by Krishna from inside. So in these two chapters, in the 8th canto, one chapter talks about all the different Manus at different times who will rule this planet. And then in another chapter, what is the responsibility of each of the Manvantara Shalkam, or in other words, the six different entities who are mentioned there. It was during this process that what happened was, when it came to the seventh Manu's time, when it came to the seventh Manu's time, which is this present Manu, Vaivasvata Manu's time, then automatically Sukadeva Goswami had to talk about the appearance of Lord Vamana and the story of Mahabali also had to be spoken about. So when this story was spoken, it was only pointing it out that these are the Manu, and Vamana Murti, Lord Vamana Dev, is representing the partial incarnation of Krishna for this Manu's time, and these are the seven sages who are in responsibility for this Manu's time. All these things were spoken, and he also mentioned that Mahabali had to offer everything to Vamana Murthy at one stage, and Vamana Murthy took everything from Mahabali and sent him to Sudalam, to the lower planetary system. When this was mentioned, Parikshit Maharaj got a bit curious, more inquisitive to know what exactly happened. So in response to that, in the next 8 to 9 chapters, the story of Mahabali comes in back again. So we remember that after the milk ocean was churned, and then the great battle, we discussed about this, between the demigods and the demons happened. In that, Mahabali lost his life, and all the other great demons also lost their life. They were all brought back to life by Mrita Sanjeevani by their spiritual master Shukra Maharshi. Shukracharya brought them back to life again. So when they were brought back to life, Shukracharya brought them back to life, and Shukracharya, after the war was over, took all the demons away from there. And Mahabali, if you remember, we mentioned this before, Mahabali never lost his heart. In other words, he never accepted defeat. He said that if, like the demigods, if I can also get stronger tomorrow, I can beat the demigods in a war. This was Mahabali's confidence. So this Mahabali, after the war was over, he came back and discussed with his friends what we should do now about how to get back the strength. So like there are also so many instructions in the Bhagavatam which tells us how to acquire strength in this world, if you want to get stronger. Then the process Mahabali adopted is not like us. We will do something, some more complicated things and make everything a mess. That's what our way of attacking this situation. But what Mahabali did was, Mahabali decided that, what am I lacking in me? He thought about it. He thought, if I am able to please the great personalities, and with their mercy, I will acquire strength. This was Mahabali's confidence. He was very confident about that. So what did he do? He decided to please Shukracharya to the maximum. And he went and approached Shukracharya and told Shukracharya that I want to perform such sacrifices. Allow me to perform sacrifices that will please you. And Shukracharya was very much impressed by seeing Mahabali's enthusiasm. And Shukracharya asked Mahabali, "What desire do you have?" Mahabali said to Shukracharya, "I have only one desire, that all the three planetary systems should come under my control." Mahabali said to Shukracharya. Shukracharya asked him, "Is that all what you want?" Mahabali said, "Yes." "Okay, let us start the next sacrifice," he said. And that is how Vishwajit, a specific sacrifice, was started by Mahabali. And Mahabali started the sacrifice. Shukracharya was the priest who were conducting the sacrifice. The sacrifice was finished. But what Mahabali did was, Mahabali performed such acts that it pleased Shukracharya to the highest extent. Not only he pleased Shukracharya, all the other members of the Bhargava, Bhrigu's descendants, they're all. And from there, all the other members of the Bhrigu's descendants also, Mahabali pleased them to the maximum extent. When he pleased them to such a degree, one day they were so happy with Mahabali, they called Mahabali and told him that, "What can we do for you to make Mahabali happy?" Seeing the Mahabali's mood of surrender and commitment to that. And Mahabali again demanded the same thing, that, "I want to have the complete control of the three planetary systems." And in the next sacrifice, in the Vishwajit, again they performed, it was then in that sacrifice, all the weapons, what was required to conduct a war, came out from the sacrifice. Shukracharya said to Mahabali, "Take those weapons and go for the war right now." He said to Mahabali, "Most probably you won't require a war." This was the confidence Shukracharya had. Shukracharya said to Mahabali, "You may not have to even fight the war. The heavenly planets will come under your control." So, at that time, Mahabali, you have to see Mahabali's nature, some of the things what Mahabali has done. Although he was the head of the demons. Remember, this Mahabali is going to come as the head of the demigods in the next Manu's time. That is how these things can change. So, demon and demigod is not a permanent thing, that somebody will always be a demon, somebody will always as a demigod. It doesn't work like that. Yesterday's devotee could be a demon tomorrow. And today's demon could be a devotee also tomorrow. It changes always. It doesn't work that, oh, he's permanently a devotee and permanent, constantly, unless one continues to maintain that Krishna consciousness, in that way, our demoniac qualities can come back. In that, it's not gone away from us. It's still there, very much hiding inside. So similarly here, Mahabali decided that he should, the way Shukracharya called Mahabali from after the sacrifice was over, and he said to Mahabali, "Take this garland." And he handed over a garland to Mahabali. In the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find there that Sukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj, When the garland was handed over to Mahabali, Shishugan says there in the Bhagavadam that Pidamahasya dadau jamalam amlana pushpam jalajam jashukraha, that Pidamahasya dadau jamalam, that who is Mahabali's Pidamaha? Who is Mahabali's Pidamaha? Mahabali's Pidamaha, if you see in the history, Mahabali's father was Virojana. Who was Virojana's father? Virojana's father was Prahlada. So, Prahlada's grandson is Mahabali. Pidamahasya datau jamalam amlana pushpam jalajamja shukraha. That he handed over this garland to him and told him that your face will lose its happiness the day when these flowers in this garland dries up. In other words, as long as this garland remains fresh, you will remain also fresh. In other words, you will be so happy as long as you have this garland. Pidamahasya dadau jamalam amlana pushpam jalajamja shukraha. Shukramarshi handed over a conch shell to Mahabali. All these things have happened. Mahabali was full of confidence at this time when he received this garland from from him, from him. And Mahabali is very intelligent person. Imagine what Mahabali did at that time. Mahabali, before he went to war with the demigods, he decided one thing, that I should go and see my grandfather. That was his good thought. You see, when Krishna is favorable, you will also think favorably. Your head will work in the proper way. Otherwise, that also won't go. It will all go and do wrong things. It will go in the wrong direction, everything. But when Mahabali has pleased all these great sages, they gave this mercy to Mahabali, automatically his mind, intelligence, everything was working in the right direction. He went and Prahlada Mamandra Namaschakara, Bhagavatam says, he went and paid his obeisances to Prahlada. Prahlada Mamandra Namaschakara, that if you pay your obeisances to Prahlada, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that Prahlada put his hands on Mahabali and told him, Vijayi Bhava, that you become successful. When Prahlada looked into Prahlada, when Mahabali looked into Prahlada's hands, what is Prahlada's hands? Prahlada's hands are full of Narasimha Murthy. Narasimhadevi is in Prahlada's hands. And if you get a blessing from Prahlada like this, Prahlada Mamandra Namaschakara, Srimad Bhagavatam says like this, that when Shukracharya didn't tell him to do this. This is the interesting thing. Shukracharya didn't ask Mahabali that you should go and pay your obeisances to Prahlada. But Mahabali on his own thought that it's important that I pay my respects to Prahlada, because Prahlada has actually worshipped Narasimhamurti, and Narasimhamurti is under Prahlada's control. In other words, Prahlada can give him that mercy for success to be required. So when moment Prahlada gave this benediction to Mahabali, the matter was settled. And in the Bhagavatam you can see now, there is a 12 to 13 verses discussion of the heavenly planet. If you read that discussion, you will see as though Vedavyasa Maharshi has just come back from the heaven. That is how beautiful that discussion is. Such a beautiful discussion. And description. And if you read that description, you will also see that the living style, the lifestyle, the happiness of the heavenly planets is far, far superior to the happiness of this earthly planet. Vedavyasa Maharshi is giving us an indication of that when Mahabali with his army went to invade the heavenly planets, Indra felt that the whole ocean is coming with the strong tidal waves and so trying to attack. Indra could not understand how Mahabali has acquired so much strength, and he got so frightened at that time. So what did Indra do? Indra went straight to his own spiritual master, Brihaspati. Brihaspati was there. So he went up to Brihaspati and told Brihaspati, I thought that Mahabali and others are dead in the war, and I couldn't understand that, how he has got so much strength. Brihaspati told Indra that Mahabali got back his life and strength from the war, after the war, from Shukracharya. And he has performed so much sacrifices and pleased Shukracharya and all the other great saintly personalities. The result is that he has become so powerful now. And that is how he has come to attack you now. Indra was very funny. Indra says to Brihaspati, his own spiritual master, haven't I got one spiritual master like Mahabali has? What is he doing? This was his question. Brihaspati smiled and told him very nicely the answer. My dear Indra, after getting the nectar and after getting the whole heavenly planets back, how many times have you paid your obeisances to your spiritual master? So Indra started thinking, then only realized this is the first time he has come. So this is our Indra is. Indra has first time found out that he has come to pay his obeisances to Brihaspati. Only when he was in trouble, he decided to come to see his spiritual master. So this is also another interesting thing. In this world, we have a lot of relationships, spiritual master, disciple and everything. But if we do not accept what spiritual master has told, but we think, spiritual master will do everything for me. My duty is just to carry on my life. And when the, at the end, after all, he has taken all my karma today, and rest of it, sending me back to, it is his duty. He has to do that to send him. It doesn't work like that, unfortunately. It is not the system. System is not like that. There are four kinds of people who look for liberation from this cycle of birth and death. Four kinds of people. In the jnanis, they divide them very precisely, each one of them where they stand. And they reject the last three, because last three are useless as far as they are concerned. They only accept the first one. What is their classification is? There is one group of disciples who thinks that I have got initiated now by my spiritual master. Let the spiritual master take his own time. And when he is ready, he will take me back to the spiritual world. So, this is one kind. This is the lowest among all. And this class is not going to get out of the cycle of birth and death. He will stay here. No matter how much the spiritual master decides to take him. Because he doesn't have that desire to go back. What is known as mumukshatva. Mumukshatva means to free oneself from this cycle. A strong desire to get out of it. That is not there. And he has no desire. He has whole plan to live here. But he has followed the process. He has got the spiritual master. And he is saying that I have been initiated now. Everything is all in place now. All let things go on like this. One day I will get there. As and when he decides, that's okay for me. A few lifetimes, I don't mind. That's his attitude. This is the lowest. The next higher to that is another group. This group is thinking like this. That it's all right to take the spiritual life. But if I don't have some sense gratification in this life, I think I don't want to miss it out completely, miss out the whole thing. Because life is meant for both, isn't it? That I have to gratify my senses, at the same time I have to execute some spiritual life also. Or in other words, that person's spiritual life is being kept for the old age. In other words, in the youth, he is thinking all the time that I can only gratify my senses when I am young. When I am old, there is nothing else I can do. So at that time, I will engage in spiritual life to whatever extent my body allows me to do it. Or whatever time allows I have, that's what I have in my mind. And this is how I'm going to do it. So some people there are who have come to spiritual life, but whose mind is situated in that condition, on that platform. They are of course better than the last one, but still they are not considered to be good enough. Because in their life, they are only thinking sense gratification is the priority. After sense gratification, if there is any, when the whole body and the senses has completely lost its vitality and it cannot do anything else, and you will remain in one corner, when everybody leaves you there at the end and you sit there, and then you can start chanting and sleeping along with that together side by side. So that will happen one stage. That's the second category. The third category is, there is another group of people who are always thinking that I am stuck in my family life. My family life is, I have to look after that also. I have so many commitments in this world. He is not after sense gratification too much. But at the same time, he is not able to break away from the family relationships, society, friends and all the other things in this world. So those things are controlling him. But as and when there is some time, he is thinking in his mind that what can I do? I am caught up in this whole mess. And so-called family life or social life or whatever life we call it. I am in a mess. I can't get out of this. What to do? And in this situation, he is lamenting, and at the same time he is chanting Hare Krishna also. And a lot of people are in that situation. It is considered to be better than the other two. One after sense gratification and the one who has left everything to the spiritual master. Now, if you leave all these three, there is another one category, which is the one who is more qualified for spiritual life. That's also mentioned there. And that category is this, that having through proper analysis of this material life and proper understanding from the Shastra, particularly Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, one has come to understand that surrendering and taking shelter of Krishna is the ultimate objective in life. And when one is able to take complete shelter of Krishna in all his activities with mind, body and the senses and intelligence, everything, and then that person will have the required necessary qualification to advance in spiritual path and the required renunciation for that. So who is on the topmost platform? So like this, the mumukshatvam, that durlabham trayame vaidal devanugrahedugam manishyatvam mumukshatvam mahapurusha samshrayaham. That three things are required, or three things are given by their superior arrangement. Durlabham trayame vaidal, and these three things are very, very rare. What are they? Manishyatvam mumukshatvam. Manishyatvam means a human body. And then mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means a desire to go back home, back to God, to free oneself from this entanglement. Manishyatvam mumukshatvam mahapurusha samshrayaha. And the third thing, which is the most rare thing, is to get the association of a great personality, of a great soul. So like this, the mumukshatvam or liberation is classified in this manner. So coming back to Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the Mahabali's case, now what has happened is, when he went for the war, Indra spoke to Brihaspati like this, that why we have not, why my spiritual master has not done anything? The spiritual master answered back, the first time you come to see me, as soon as he got his nectar and the heavenly planets back, Indra was back into his business again. So he has forgotten that Brihaspati is there, a spiritual master. So Indra told Brihaspati, what is to be done now? Brihaspati said, nothing I can do about it. Because what Mahabali has done and achieved now, you cannot do anything about it. And all you can do now is that you leave heavenly planet straight away and go away from here. So with the result was, Indra had to take the form of a bird, and others have to take different bodies, and they all came to Kashyapa Maharshi's ashram, and they were hanging around there, not knowing what to do about it. It was then that Aditi Devi, the mother of all the demigods, and Indra also realized the condition her children have come into. So then, at this point in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there that the Aditi Devi has actually started experiencing the distress of the children, of her children. And Aditi Devi took up the process of placing Kashyapa Prajapati and later on to appearance of Vamandev. That comes much later. But prior to that, we also have to look at what has happened in Mahabali. Who is this Mahabali? We all think about Mahabali. We talk about Mahabali so much. Mahabali is a very important personality in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Mahabali is also a representation of the Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything to Krishna. And Mahabali is given as an example for that. That Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnur Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. That ninth process of devotional service, Mahabali is considered to be the finest example. So this Mahabali's background is that if you read in this Kandapuranam, it talks about who is Mahabali. Mahabali in his previous life was a dacoit and a personality who engaged very much in gambling. That was his nature. So this Mahabali, in his previous life, he performed so many sinful activities like that. And one day he was carrying some flowers and garlands to see one of his favorite friends, a female friend. He was going to see her. In that process, while traveling, he suddenly collapsed on the way and he fell down. When he woke up from that unconscious state, he has by then become a devotee of Lord Shiva. And not only became a devotee of Lord Shiva, that because he had developed some devotion for Lord Shiva, with the flowers and garland, he started offering to Lord Shiva with chanting Lord Shiva's name. And when he chanted that Lord Shiva's name and became his devotee, after his death, he was taken to the Yamaraja's planet, he was taken there. And when he went there, in the Yamaraja's planet, the good Yamadharma Raja judged everybody very carefully and told Mahabali that, look, the record is not very good. Chitragupta was giving all the details of the account of Mahabali's previous life, and looking at all that thing, Yamadharma Raja said to Mahabali that you got to go to hellish planets. There is nothing else I can do about it. Because that's your record is showing like that. But Chitragupta told Yamadharma Raja that when he has come to become a devotee of Lord Shiva, he has performed, pleased Lord Shiva by his activities. He has done some things in glorifying Lord Shiva. So you have to give him some credit for that. So at that time, Yamaraja asked Mahabali, what do you want for that? What are you looking for? There's not a lot in your credit, but whatever little is there, you can have it. But what do you want, he said. Mahabali asked only one thing. I want to sit in Indra's chair for a few hours. I just want to be Indra before I leave this body and go into the hellish planets. So that is how, I think it's about 1.5 hour time was given for Mahabali to occupy Indra's position. Indra's position in the Swargalokam was offered to Mahabali for 1.5 hours. So when Mahabali went there, Srinarada Muni brought Indra's wife, Shaji Devi, and presented to her to the new Indra. Mahabali said no. Mahabali realized that after this 1.5 hour, how can I use this 1.5 hour to the maximum? Mahabali is a very intelligent person. You will see this. What did he do? He realized, sir, 1.5 hour I am Indra here. So what's the best thing I can do now in this 1.5 hour? He did the one important thing. He looked at the heavenly planets. He realized that there are so many valuable things. Uchai Shravas, Airavadam, Kamadhenu, Parijadam, so many things there. He called all these 7 sages, handed over Kamadhenu to Vasishtha, Uchai Shravas to Vishwamitra, and similarly to other sages also. Everything that was valuable in heavenly planets, he gave in charity to all these great sages. And as soon as 1.5 hours is finished, he was back at Yamadharma Raja's place. So, what can you do? Yamadharma Raja was in a problem now. He couldn't do anything with him because he has given such charity to such great personalities in the heavenly planet. So, what do you do now? Here is a man with such a criminal record behind, but he has done so much pious activities also at the same time. Yamadharma Raja weighed both and at the end said, I can't do anything with him now because this side is going up. This side is heavier than the other side and the sinful activities. Mahabali was such a successful person. And this is why you find when the Supreme Personality of Godhead came as Vamana Murthy and asked Mahabali, that is going to come later in the next chapters. Later on you will see there. The same principle Mahabali followed and the result was Mahabali was never a loser. What do we understand from that? If you give anything to Krishna, if you give him 10 pounds, Krishna will return it to you in thousands of pounds. 10 times more. That is Krishna's account. One never loses by handing over to Krishna. Only thing, it has to go to Krishna. That's the only thing. That if it is used for Krishna's service, whatever wealth, what you have taken from Krishna, if you give it back to Krishna, you are never a loser. And that is what Mahabali's story is teaching us. Everything, whether it is wealth or it is knowledge or anything, whatever one has in possession to offer to Krishna, whatever one has whatever form, any qualities, what is available one has, whatever wealth one has, if it's offered to Krishna, that is never wasted. That always comes back in many, many multi times than what you have offered to Krishna. This principle was known to Mahabali very much. That's what we'll see later when we come to that those chapters when we discuss Mahabali's invasion of the heavenly planets. So Mahabali came. Now, there are other few things, important things to remember here. Mahabali invaded heavenly planets. There was no obstruction from anywhere. Indra left straight away. Brihaspati told him, no point in hanging around here. Leave straight away and go and find somewhere else to live. So all of them left. The Apsaras women stayed back. They started dancing as Mahabali came. The new king has come for them. They welcomed him very well. But very, very important thing to remember here is, although Mahabali got the heavenly planets, not for a minute he was attracted by the happiness of the heavenly planet. This is the greatness of Mahabali. all what he did was, as soon as he got possession of the heavenly planets, he set up everything in such a way, Mahabali said, that everything should happen properly as the way it was done, returned back to his own kingdom. And when he came back, first question, Shukracharya asked Mahabali, what happened? Mahabali said, Surgam has come, the heavenly planets have come under my control, he said. Did you have to fight the war? Mahabali said, no, it was not necessary, he said. So, Shukracharya said to Mahabali, what you have got now is the result of one sacrifice. You should do now another 100 sacrifices like this. What do you think? He said to Mahabali. Mahabali said, as you instruct. This was Mahabali's answer to Shukracharya. And that is how, one after the other, 99 sacrifices have happened. And on the 100th sacrifice, when the 100th sacrifice happened, Krishna could not stay away from there. He had to go there. There's nothing else. After all these sacrifices are meant to please the Supreme Lord. And the result of these performing sacrifices was that Krishna's Supreme Personality himself had to come down in the form of Vamana Murti to see Mahabali. That all comes in the remaining next chapters. But before we go that, I have a few chapters to read, which I'll read now, and then we will continue discussion after that. That there is another interesting thing is that when Mahabali was discussing with Brihaspati, Brihaspati said to Indra that Esha Vipramalodarkam, that Vipramalodarkam, it is that sages that has given the strength to Mahabali, nothing else. Mahabali on his own doesn't have much strength, but Esha Vipramalodarka Sampradyurjada Vikramaha, that Vikraman or this the heroicness has come to him from the heroic nature has come to him from these sacrifices. Teshamevanukambena Sanubandham Vinakshadi. Srimad Bhagavatam says like that. Teshamevanukambena Sanubandham Vinakshadi. Indra asked to Brihaspati, when will Mahabali will leave the heavenly planet? Brihaspati said to him, at the moment you can't do anything with him. It will stay with him. But one day, Teshamevanukambena Sanubandho Vinakshari, that somehow or the other, these spiritual masters of Mahabali, or a member, become displeased with Mahabali, gets upset with Mahabali. At that point, somehow you will get your heavenly planets back. This is how Brihaspati told Indra at that time. Bhagavadam has put it like that. So you can see that the whole system of arrangement that Mahabali had, some of the qualities in Mahabali, if one can accept, understand it, that is very favorable in devotional service and Krishna consciousness. That Mahabali's sacrificing nature, that the surrendering nature of Mahabali, Almani Vedanam, that is very important. So before we read that, come to that, we'll just read these few chapters. We have stopped last time on the 10th chapter of the 8th canto. So I have to read from the 10th chapter. 10, 11 and onwards, we have to read a couple of chapters today. Shri Shuka Uvacham Iti dānava daideya nāvinnam namadam nrava yukta karmani yattasya vasudeva parāngukhāha sādhayitva amradam vyājan payayitva svagān surān pashyadām sarvabhūdānam yayau garudavāhanam savatnānam parāmradhyam drishtvāte dhidinandanāha amirushyamāno mulpedur devān pratyudhāyudhāha tada surajanā sarve sudhaya pidayaithidāha Pradisamyu Yudhu Shastrai Narayana Padashrayaham Tatra Devasuro Nama Rana Paramadaruna Rondasidan Vadu Rajam Stumuloro Maharshanaham Tatra Nyunyam Savatnaste Samrabdamanasorene Samasadhyasvirbhane Nikjagnu Vividhaidheim Shankaduri Mudanganam Heiramirinam Mahan Hastya Shuratamatinam Nadadam Niswanu Bhaval Retino Red Vistatra Bhattavisahavataya Haya Hai Vaschevai Samasajanda Samyugayam ഉഷ്ട്രൈകേചിത് വൈകേചിത് അവരേയു ദുഃഖരയ്യം കേചിത് ഗൗരം മൃഗൈകക്ഷേർ ദേവിർ ഹരിഭിർഭണാഹം ഗൃധ്രൈർ കങ്കൈർ ബകൈരന്യൈ ശേനവാസൈസ്തു മിംഗലൈ ശരഭൈർ മഹിഷൈർ ഗംഗൈർ ഗോവൃഷൈർ ഗവയാരുണൈ ശിവാഹിരാഗുബിക്കേതിൽ കൃകലാശേഷേർനരൈ വസ്തൈരേകൈ കൃഷ്ണസാരേർ ഹംസൈരന്യേജസൂകരൈ അന്യേ ജലസ്ഥലഗൈ സത്വൈർവിഗ്രഹൈ സേനയോരുഭയോ രാജൻ വിവിശുസ്തേഗ്രദോഗ്രദാഹ ചിത്രധ്വജമണൈ രാജൻ ആദവത്രൈ സിതാമലൈ മഹാധനൈർ വജ്രദണ്ഡൈർവിജനൈർ ബാഹജാമരൈ വാദോദ്ധൂതോത്തരോഷ്ണീഷൈർ അർച്ചൈർഭിർവർമ്മഭൂഷണൈ സ്ഫുരദ്ഭിർ വിശദൈ ശസ്ത്രൈ സുതരാം സൂര്യരശ്മിഭീ ദേവദാനമവീരാണാം ദുചിന്യോ പാണ്ഡുനന്ദന രേജദുർവീരമാലാഭിർ യാദസാമിവസാഗരൗ വൈരോജനോബലിസംഘേ സ്വസുരാണാം ചമൂപതി യാനം വൈഹായസം നാമ കാമകം മൈ നിർമ്മിതം സർവസാംഗ്രാമികോപേദം സർവാശ്ചര്യമയം പ്രഭോ അപ്രതർക്കമനിർദ്ദേശ്യം ദൃശ്യമാനമദർശനം അസ്ഥിതസ്തുതിമാനാഗ്രം സർവാനീകാധിപൈർവൃത ബാലവ്യത്രാഗ്രൈ ചന്ദ്രവിബോധയേ തസ്യാസം സർവതോ യാനേർ യുധാനാം പദയോ സുരാഹ നമുജി ശംബരോ പ്രാണോ വിപ്രതിരയോ മുഖാഹ ദ്രിമൂർധാകാലനോപാത പ്രഹേദർഹേദിരിലുല ശകുനിർഭൂതസന്താവോ വജ്രധ്രംഷ്ടോ വിരോചന ഹയഗ്രീവ ശംഖശിര കപിലോ മേഘദുന്ദുമി താരകശ്ചക്രദക്ഷുംബോ നിശുംബോ ജംഭമുൽക്കല അരിഷ്ടോ അരിഷ്ടനേമിശ്ച മഹേശ്ചതുരാധിപ അന്യേ പൗലോമകാലേയ നിവാദ കവചാദയ അലബ്ധവാഗാസോമസ്ത കേവലം ക്ലേശഭാഗിന സർവമേദേരണമുഖേ ബഹുശോ നർജിതാമരാഹ സിംഹനാദാന്യമുജ്ജന്ത ശംഖ ശംഖാന്ധർമുർമഹാരവൻ ദൃഷ്ട്വാ സപത്നാനുസിക്തൻ ബലവിൽ കുപിതോദ്ഭൃഷം ഐരാവതം ധിക്കരണം ആരൂഢ ശുശുഭേസ്വരാൾ യഥാസ്രവൽ പ്രസവണം ഉദയാദ്രിമഹർപ്പനീ തസ്യാസം സർവതോ ദേവ മാനാവാഹദ്ഭുജായുധാ ലോകബാലാ സഹാഗണേർ വായുഗ്നിവരുണാദയ തേന്യോനമവി സംസ്രജ്യ ക്ഷിപന്തോ മർമ്മമിർമിത ആഹയന്തോ വിശന്തോഗ്രേ യുയുധോ ദ്വന്ദ്വയോധിനാഹ യോധബലിന്ദ്രേണ താരകേണ ഗുഹോസ്യത വരുണോ ഹേവിനായുധ്യൻ മിത്രോ രാജൻ പ്രഹേദിന യമസ്തൂ കാലനാഭേന വിശ്വകർമാവേന വൈ ശംഭരോ യുധേ തുഷ്ട സവിത്ര അതുവിരോചന അപരാജിതേന നമുജി അശ്വിനോ വൃഷപർവണ സൂര്യോ ബലിസുദേർദയോ വാനജ്യേഷ്ഠേശതേന ച രാഹുനാഥ തഥാ സാമ സോമ പുലോംനായുധേനില നിശുംഭാശുംഭയോർ ദേവി ഭദ്രകാളി തരസ്വിനീ വൃഷാകവിസ്തുജംഭേന മഹിഷേണ വിഭാവസു ഇല്ലുലാ സഹവാദാഭിർ ബ്രഹ്മപുത്രൈരരിന്ദമ കാമദേവേന ദുർമർഷ ഉത്കലോ മധുർവിസ്സഹ ബൃഹസ്പതിൽ ശോഷ്ണസ കരകേണ ശനൈശ്ചര മരുതോ നിവാതകവജൈ കാലയേ വസവോമര വിശ്വദേവാസ്തു ബൗലോമൈ രുദ്രാം ക്രോധവശൈ സഹ ത ഏവമാജാവസുരാസുരേന്ദ്ര ദ്വന്ദ്വേന സംഹത്യ ചെയ്യുധ്യമാനം അന്യോന്യമാസാദി നിജഗ്നുരോജസ ജിഗീഷവസ്തീഷ്ണശരാസിതോമരൈ ഭുഷുണ്ടി ശക്തിശ്ചക്രകദൃഷ്ടിവട്ടിശൈ ശക്തുൽപകൈ പ്രാസപരശ്വധൈരവി നിസ്തൃംശഭല്ലൈ പരിഘൈ സമുൽഘരൈ സഭിന്ദിമാലൈശ്ച ശിരാംസി ചിച്ചിരൈ ചിച്ചിദോ ഗജാംസ്തുരംഗാസരഥാപദാദയ സരോഹവാഹ വിവിധ വിഖണ്ഡിത നികൃത്തബാഹൂരിശിരോധരാംഗയശ്ചിന്നദ്വിഷേദാസ തനുത്രഭൂഷണാഹ തേഷാം പദാഘാതരഥാംഗചൂർണിത ആയോധനാദുൽഭണ ഉത്ഥിതസ്തത രണിർദിശഖം ജുമണിം ചാദയൻ ന്യവർത്തദാസൃക്തി പരിപ്ലുതാൽ ശിരോഭിരുദ്ധൂതകിരീടകുണ്ടലൈ സംരംഭതൃഗ്ഭിപ്പരിദഷ്ടദക്ഷതൈ മഹാഭുജൈ സ്വാഭരണൈ സഹായുധൈ സാ പ്രാസ്തൃതാ ഭൂ കരഭൂർഭിർഭവൌ കബന്ധാസ്തത്രജോൽപേതു പതിതസ്വശിരേക്ഷിഭി ഉദ്യതായുധദോർധൻഡൈ രാധാവന്ധോ ഭടാൻമൃധൈ ബലിർമഹേന്ദ്രം ദശമി സ്ത്രിഭിരേ സ്ത്രിഭിരൈരാവദംശരൈ ചതുർഭിർശ്ചതുരോ വാഹാൻ ഏകേ ആരോഹമാർച്ചയൽ സദാനാപതശക്രസ്താവദ്ഭീ ശീഘ്രവിക്രമ ചിച്ചേദനിശ്രേർഭല്ലേ രസം പ്രാപ്താൻ ഹസന്നിവാം തസ്യ കർമ്മം തമം വീക്ഷ്യ ദുർമർഷാശക്തിമാദതേ താം ജ്വലന്തി മഹോൽഖാവം ഹസ്തസ്ഥാമച്ഛിനദ്ധരീ തദശൂലം തദപ്രാസം തദൽസ്തോമരമൃഷ്ടയ യദ്യശ്രം സമദ്യാൽ സർവം തദച്ഛിനദ്വിഭൂം സസർജാദാസുരീം മായ അന്തർദാനഗതോസുര തദപ്രാദുരഭൂച്ചൈര സുരാനീകോപരിപ്രഭോ തതോ നിവേദുസ്തരവോ ദഹ്യമാനാദവാഗ്നിന ശിലാസങ്കടശിഖരാശൂർണയന്ദ്യോദുഷൽബലം മഹോരഗാസമുൽപേതു ദന്തശൂകാസവൃശ്ചിക സിംഹവ്യാഘ്രവരാഹശ്ച മർദയന്തോ മഹാഗജാൻ യാദുധാന്യശ്ച ശതശ ശൂലഹസ്താവിവാസ ചിന്തിഭിന്തീരി വാദിന്യസ്തദാ രക്ഷോഗണാ പ്രഭോ തതോ മഹാഘനവ്യോഗ്നി ഗംഭീരമൃഷസ്വന അംഗാരാമുചേർവാദേ ആഹദാസ്തനയിത്നവാ സൃഷ്ടോ ദൈത്യേന സുമഹാൻ മന്യശ്വസനസാരഥി സാം വർത്തകമിവാത്യുഗ്രോ വിഭുതദ്വജിനീമഥാ തതസമുദ്രമുദ്വേല സർവദാ പ്രത്യദൃശ്യത പ്രചണ്ഡവാദൈരുദ്ധൂതതരംഗാവർത്തവീഷണാം ఏవం దైత్యర్ మహామాయ అలక్షగతి భీషణై సృజ్యమానాసు మాయాసు విషేదసుర సైనికాః నదల్ ప్రతివిధిం యత్ర విదురింద్రాదయో నృవా ధ్యాన ప్రాదురవోల్ తత్ర భగవాన్ విశ్వభావనాం తదస్సువర్ణాం సకృతాంగ్రి వల్లవ విషంగవాసానవ కుంజలోచన అదృశ్యదష్టాయుధ బాహురుల్లస శ్రీ కౌస్తువానర్కి కిరీట కుండలాః తస్మిన్ ప్రవిష్టే సురకూట కర్మజ మాయావినేశుర్మహినా మహీయస స్వప్నో యథా హి ప్రతిబోధమాగదే హరిస్మృతి సర్వధిపద్ విమోక్షణం దృష్ట్వామృతే గిరిడవాహమి వారివాహ ఆవిధ్యం శూరమిహైనోధత కాలదేవి తల్లీలయా గిరిడమూధని పదద్ గృహీత్వ తేనాహనేంద్ర సవాహమరీంద్రదీశా శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాపురాణే పరమహంస్యాం సంహితాయాం అష్టమస్కందే దేవాసుర సంగ్రామే దశమోధ్యాయ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద శ్రీశుక ఉచ అథోసుర ప్రతిబలబ్ధేజస పరస్య వంశ పరయానుగమ్మయ జగ్నుర్మృషం చక్ర సమీరణాం దయస్తాంస్తాండణే ఐరవి సంహదాపురా వైరోచనాయ సంరంధో భగవాన్ పాదశాసన ఉదయచ్చదిదావజ్రం ప్రజా హేని చుక్రుషు వజ్రవాణిస్తమాహీనం తిరస్కృతిపురస్థితం మనస్వినం సుసంపన్నం విదరందం మహామృదే నడవన్నూఢమాయాభిర్మాయేషాన్నో జిగీషసి జిత్వా బాలాన్ నిబద్ధాక్షన్ అటోహరది తర్ధనం ఆరురక్షన్ దివాభిర్సంది ఏ దివం తాందస్యూన్యధినుద్యోమి జ్ఞాన్ పూర్వస్మాచ్చ పదాధదా సోహం దుర్మాయినస్తేద్య వజ్రేణ శతవర్వణ శిరోహరిష్యే మందాత్మన్ ఖడస్వజ్ఞాదివి సహ శ్రీబలిరువాజాం సంగ్రామే వర్తమానానాం కాలజోదిత కర్మణాం కీర్తిర్జయో జయో మృత్యు సర్వేషాం సురనుక్రమాల్ తదిదం కాలరశనం జనా పశ్యంది సూరయ నకృష్యంది నశోయంది త్రయోయమ పండితా నవయం మన్యమానానాం ఆత్మానాం తత్ర సాధనం గిరో వసాదుశోచ్యానాం గృహీమో మర్మదాధన శ్రీశుక ఉవాజాం ఇత్యాక్షిప విభం వీరో నారాజై వీరవర్ధన ఆకర్ణ పూర్ణైరహనద్దాక్షేపైరాహదం పునః ఏవం నిరాకృతో దేవ వైరినా తథ్యవాదిన నామృష్యల్ తదది క్షేమం తోత్రాహనమివద్యు ప్రాహరల్కలిశం తస్మా మమోహం వరమర్దన సయానో నిమదల్ భూమౌ చిన్నమక్షమివాచన సహాయం వదిదం దృష్ట్వా జంభోభలి సగసుహృల్ అభయా సౌహృదం సఖ్యు అదస్యావి సమాచరల్ స సింహవాహమాసాద్య గదాముద్యమ్య రంహస జత్రావరాణయ చక్రం గజం చ సుమహాబల గదా ప్రఖరవ్యదిదో వృషం విఖరిదో గజయ గజ జానుభ్యాం నరణిం స్పృష్ట కష్మలం పరమం యయో తథోరథోమాదిన హరిభిర్దశశతైర్వద ఆనీదో దివములు సజ్జ రథమారుహే విభో తల్పూజయన్ కర్మ ఎంతుర్దానవసత్తమ శూలేన జ్వలదాతం తు స్మయమానో హనన్మృధే సహేరుజం సూర్మషాం సత్వమాలంబ్యమాదలి ఇంద్రో జంబస సంక్రుద్ధో వజ్రేణావాహరచిరా జంబం శ్రుత్వాహతం దస్య జ్ఞానయో నారదాదృశే నముదిశ్చ వలపాల సత్రావేదుస్తురాన్నిదా వజోపి వరుషైరింద్రం అర్థయం దోస్య మర్మసు శరైరవాగిరన్మేఘ ధారామిరివ పర్వతం హరీందశశదానాజో హరియశ్వస్య బలశరై తావల్భిరర్దయామాస యుగపల్లవహస్తవాన్ యుగపల్లగుహస్తవాన్ శతాభ్యాం మాదరిం భాగో రథం సావయవం పృథక్ సకృత్సంధానమోక్షేణ తదల్భుతమభూద్రణై నమోజి పంచదశభి స్వర్ణపుంఖైర్మహేషుభి ఆహత్య మదల్సంఖే సదోయమివ దోయదా సర్వదా శరగూడేన శక్రం సరథసారథిం చాలయామాసురసురా ప్రావల్ సూర్యమివాంబుదా అలక్షయందస్తమదీవా విహ్వల విజుక్రుషు దేవగణా సఖానుగా అనాయక శత్రుబలే నిర్జిత వణిపద భిన్ననమో యథార్ణవే తదస్ఫురాషాడుషుబద్ద శుభద్రవంజర వినిర్గదాసశురదద్వజాగ్రణి బభౌ దిషర్ఘం పృథివీం చ రోజయన్ సుతేజసా సూర్యమివక్షవాతే నిరీక్షప్రదనం దేవా పడేరభ్యర్థిధామ్రణి ఉదయచ్ఛద్రివం హందం వజ్రం వజ్రదరోరుషా సదైనైవ అష్టదారేణ శిరసి బలవాగయో యాదీనాం పశ్యదాం రాజన్ జహారజనయన్ భయం నమజిస్తద్వదం దృష్ట్వా శోగా అమర్షురుషాన్విదా జిఘాం సురేంద్రం నృపదే చకార పరమోద్యమం అశ్మసారమయం శూలం గంధావధేమ భూషణం ప్రహిభ్యాభ్యద్రవల్ క్రుద్ధో హతోసీది విదర్జయన్ పరహినో దేవరాజాయ జనజన్మృగరాడివాం తదాపదద్గగనదలే మహాజవం విజిచ్చిదే హరి ఋషువి సహస్రధ తమాహనం నృవకలిశేన కంధరి ఋషానిదస్త దిశవది శిరోహరన్ నదస్య హి త్వజమపి వర్జమూర్జితో వివేదయ సురవదిన ఉజసేరిద తదద్భుతం పరమది వీర్యవిత్రమి తిరస్కృతో నముజి శిరోధర త్వజ తస్మాదింద్రోపి భేచ్ఛత్రో వజ్రప్రహదో యద కిమిదం దైవయోగేన భూతం లోక విమోహనం ఏన మే పూర్వమంత్రీణాం పక్షచ్ఛేద ప్రజాతే కృతో నిమిషదాంభారే పదల్త్రయే పదదాం భువి తపసారమయం త్వాష్ట్రం రుత్రో ఏన విబాడిద అన్యే చాపి బలోపేద సర్వాశ్రైరక్షత త్వజాం స్వయం ప్రతిహదో వజ్రో మయా ముక్తోసురేల్పగే నాహం తదాదిదేదండం బ్రహ్మతేజోప్యకారణం ఇది శక్రం విషీదంతమాహవాగశరీరిణి నాయం శుష్కైరథోనాద్రైర్వతమర్హతి దానవా మయాస్మయద్వరో దత్తో మృత్యుర్నైవార్ద్ర శుష్కయో అదోన్యశ్చిందనీయస్తే ఉపాయో మఖమన్విభో Tam devim grama karnya makavinasa samahida dhyayan bhena vada avashya ubayam phayalpadam na shushkena na jardena jahara namujeshira tam dushto varma nigana malesya vahiranyubhim gandharva mukhyo jagadur vishwavasu paramasu devadun dubayo nedur nartakyo nanudur mudam anye pevam pradidvanda ayagni virunadiya sudayama surastrogir pagan kesarinu yadham Brahmana Prashado Devan Devar Shir Narada Unrava Varaya Vasa Vibhudan Drishtva Dhanava Samkshayam Shri Narada Vajam Vavad Brahmadam Praptam Narayana Uja Shri Shri Asamedida Sarvam Uparam Adavigrahan Shri Shuga Vajam Samyam Yavanyi Samrambham Anayandu Munirvaja Upagiyamana Anuchare Reyu Sarvetra Vishtavam Eva Shishtara Nedasmin Narada Anumadena De Balimmi Vennamanaya Astamgiri Mubhagaman Atravinashtavayavan, Vidyaman Shirodharan, Ushana Jivayamasa, Sanjeevinya, Savidyayam, Velishchovanasaspishta, Pratyabam Nendriyasmadi, Parayidovinakidya, Logadatta Vijakshana, Idi Srimad Bhagavadi, Mahabrani Paramahamsayam Samhidayam, Ashtamaskande Devasura Sangrami, Ekadashodhyaya, Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sangirtanam, Govinda Govinda. Shri Badarani Vaja, Shadajoni Shamiram, Yoshidru Vena Dhanavan, Mohitwa, Suraganan, Hari Samovayel, Ushavari Shirisha, Sarabudaganer Buddha, Sahadevya, Yodestam Yatraste, Madhusudana, Savaji Dovavada, Sadaram Somaya Pava, Subamishtam Vajelam Pradibu Jasmayan Harim, Shri Mahadeva Vaja, Deva Deva Jagadjuavi Jagadishagan Maya, Sarvisha, Mavivavanam, Tomatma, Hedrishwaram, Adyanda Vansi, Adyanda Vasi and Madhya, Yamanila Hambahi, Edo Vesa Nidani, Talsatyam Brahmajil Bhavan, Tavai Vajaranam Boyam, Shayas Kama, Nirashisha, Visurjo, Vaisa Sangam, Une, Samovasade, Tam Brahma Vornamurdam, Nigunam Vishogam, Ananda Matra Vigaram, and Nidaniel, Vishu Sehidru, the Yasilisam Yamanam, Alpeshirishada Vekshayana Veksham, Egastome was the Sadwayam Advayam Jas, Onam Kadaka, the Mivikana was to Hidam, Atya, another to engineer Vido Vigalpo, a small guner Vidigaro, Nirubadigasyam, Tuam Brahma gave it away into the Hamamegi, the Mimegi, Ege Param Sadasado Purisham Paresham, and Yeva in the Namashakti, the Param Tuam, Kajin Maha Purisham, Alpadandram, Nahambara, Yushayo, the Marijimukia, Janani, the Durajidam Kalidatus of Gaha, Yen Maya, Mushida, the Samishadite, Martiale, Kimishadavataha. Satum Samihidamasi Janmanasham, Udehidam Jagado Bhavantamoksho, Vayudhya Vishadhyam Jarajarakhyam, Sarvam Tada Atmadraya Bhagamo, Overyunan Same, Avadaru Vayodhishtvara Vamanasi Degunai, Soham Nadrishtamichyami, Yelte Ushidduburdradam, Yenasamohidadaitya Padaisya Vaidashyamrdam Sura, Taddidrakshavayana Panam Kauharam Hina, Shri Shugavajam, Evam Abhyarthito Vishnu Bhagavan Shulabaniyam, Prasya Bhavagam Biram Girisham Pratyavashada Shri Bhagavan Vajam Kaudu Halayda Ityanam Yoshidwe Shomayakuda Pashyada Suragariani Kade Piyushabhajani Tateham Darsha Ishyami Darsho Surasatama Kaminam Kusandavyam Sangalpa Prabhodayam Shri Shuga Vajam Idi Bhavano Bhagavan Tatraivandra Diyada Sarvadashcharya Chamshon Bhavamaste Sahomayam Tadu Darshobhavani Varasriyam Yitra Ushparana Bellavadrume Vikreetadim kanduvali layarasal tūra varya stanidam vamekhalam avatan orduvattanagam vidastana prahishtaharo oruharaipadepade prabajyamanamyo madhidaschalal paprapadapravalam nayadim nadastadam vikshubhramal kundukajavalepusham prodignadarayada lolalochanam sukarna vibhrajitakundalolasal kapola neelalakam adhidananam shaddhadhūlam kavinjavichudam sannahyadim vamakarena phalguna vinignadim anyakarena kandukam imohayantim jagadalpamayaya Tamucha deva midigandugal ilayeshal, Vidas put us with a visushadacha musta, three prekshana, pradisami, chanavikola alma, alpana mandiga umam, suganam, shavidaham, tasyakarakal sugandugoyada, yadoviduram tamanapradalstria, vasasutram lakumari do hell, boste deva sikilanavashadam, evam namrujirabangim, dashiniyam manoramam, drishtwa tasyam manaschakra, shajandyam bhavakila, Tayavaka Vignana, Salkadas Maravihula, Pavanya, Mavashenda, Kadakristal Padamayam, Sadamaya and the Manukya, Vivastravi, Ridabrisham, Niliamana, Brakshesu, Hassanina, Nudishadam, Tamanuka Chilpagavan, Power Promoshendria, Kamasilvasham Nida, Karendumiva Yotavam, Sonukraja Divagina, Hituanichadim Stream, Keshavanda Upani, Abahubiam, Perishas Vijayam, Sobagoda Hoda, Bagavada, Karina Karini Yata. Idastada Prasarpandi, Pragirna Shiro Ruha, Alpanamo Jay Pangas, Rashavujandaral, Pradaval Sra Pradeshoni, Maya Deva Vinirmidam, ശുഷ്മിണോ യൂഥവസ്യേവ വാസിതാമനുധാവതാം യത്ര യത്ര അവതന്മഹ്യാം രേതസ്തസ്യ മഹാത്മനാ താനി രൂപ്യസഹ്യന്നശ്ച ക്ഷേത്രാന്യാസന്മ ഹീവദേം സരിലസരസു ശൈലേഷു വനേഷു ഉപവനേഷു ജാ യത്ര ക്വചാസന്മശയസ് തത്ര സന്നിഹിതോ ഹരാം കന്നീരോപശ്യത്മാനം ദേവമായ ജഡീകൃതം നൃപശ്രേഷ്ഠ സന്യവർത്തത കഷ്മനാൽ അതാവഗതമാഹാത്മ്യം ആത്മനോ ജഗദാത്മന അപരിജ്ഞേ വീര്യസ്യ നമേനേ തദുഹാത്ഭുതം തമ വിക്ലോമ പ്രീഡമാലക്ഷമത സൂദന ഉവാച പരമപ്രീതോ വിബ്രൽ സ്വാം പൗരുഷീം തനും ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ ഉവാചാം ദൃഷ്ടിവാദം വിമുത ശ്രേഷ്ഠ സ്വാം നിഷ്ഠാമാത്മനാസ്ഥിത എന്മേ ശ്രീരൂപയാ സ്വൈരം മോഹിതോപ്യംഗമായയാം കോനുമേതിതരന്മേയാം ശ്രത്വസുദ്രദേ പുമാൻ താംസ്താംസ്താസ്വജതിം ഭാവാന്തു സ്തരാമകൃതാത്മഭീം സേയം ഗുണമയീമായ നത്വാമഭിഭവിഷ്യതി മയാ സമേതാകാരേണ കാലരൂപേണ ഭാഗശ ശ്രീശുക ഉവാചാം ഏവം ഭഗവതാ രാജൻ ശ്രീവത്സാംഗേന സൽകൃത ആമന്ത്രിതം പരിക്രമ്യ സകന സ്വാലയം യയോ ആത്മാംശഭൂതാംതമായാം ഭവാനീം ഭഗവാൻ ഭവ ശംസദാം ഋഷിമുഖ്യാനാം പ്രീത്യാ ചഷ്ടാത ഭാരതാം അഭിവ്യവർഷിസ്തുമേജസ് അജസ്യമായാം പരസ്യ പുംസാംബരദേവതായാം അഹം കലാനാമുഷവോ വിമുഖ്യേ യാവശൂന്യേ കിമുതാസ്തു തന്ത്രാഹ യം മാമൃച്ഛസ്തു വേത്തയോഗാൽ സമാസഹസ്രാന്നോ ഭാരതം വൈ സമേഷ സാക്ഷാൽ പുരുഷ പുരാണോ നയത്ര കാലോ വിശദേന വേദാം ശ്രീ ശുക ഉവാചാം ഇതി ദേവിഹിതസ്താദ വിക്രമശാർഗധന്വന സിന്ധോ ധർമ്മധേന യേന ഹൃദപ്രേഷ്ടേ മഹാജനാം ഏതന്മഹോ കീർത്തയതോ നിശൃണതോ നരീഷ്യതേ ജാതു സമധ്യമക്വചിൽ യതുത്തമ ശ്ലോകഗുണാനുവർണനം സമസ്ത സംസാര പരിശ്രമാവഹം അസദ വിഷയമംഗ്രിം ഭാവഗമ്യം പ്രപന്നാൻ അമൃതമരവര്യാശയൽ സിന്ധുമധ്യം കപടയുവതിവേഷോ മോഹയന്യസുരാരിം തമഹമുപസൃതാനം കാമപൂരം നതോസ്മി. ഇതി ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതീ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം അഷ്ടമസ്കന്ധേ ശങ്കരമോഹനം നാമ ദ്വാദശോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി 12th ചാപ്റ്റർ ഫിനിഷ്ഡ്. ഐ ഹാവ് ടു റീഡ് 3 മോർ, ബട്ട് വിൽ ഡു ദാറ്റ് നെക്സ്റ്റ് സൺഡേ. സോ ദേർസ് എനി ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻസ് ഓർ കമന്റ്സ്?
You described Bali Maharaj's previous life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What I'm amazed about is that he went to Yamaraj and he says, okay, you've got 1.5 hours in heaven.
Yeah.
But in my experience of lifetimes, I can never remember anyone saying that you've got 1.5 hours to live. Because if I had that information, obviously I'd go to Indra's heaven and say, okay, if I did a little bit of devotional service to Lord Shiva, I'm here only for 1.5 hours, so why shouldn't I get major benefit and give a lot away to charity? Normally, that's not the case. Someone's given you so much mercy to say that you've only got 1.5 hours to live. So I'm just questioning, why did Yamaraj say that to him, and how could he remember that when he was in Indra's lifetime?
He knew
that he only had 1.5 hours to live, so he wanted to make the best use of that.
Yes.
So Narad Muni offered Sachidevi,
and
he said, no, I've just got 1.5 hours, I'm going to give everything away.
Yes.
And that is using his intelligence, but he got, what do you call it, previous information.
Yes.
So he was lucky to.
Question is, how can we get that information?
Yeah. That's inside information.
Yeah. Well, the Krishna consciousness is like this, that when one places a personality, like when Mahabali started worshipping Lord Shiva, he was able to. The Chitragupta says to Yamarajam that Mahabali's style of worship of Lord Shiva was a little different, in the sense that when he started worshipping Shiva, exactly the same way he offered everything to Shiva. In other words, that Atma Samarpanam or Atma Nivedanam, as we say in the ninth process, Mahabali was an expert at that from the very beginning. You see, when we offer something to Krishna, we have calculations behind it. It's not done with the way Mahabali has done. That's where the difference is. That samarpanam is something which is like, for example, I'll tell you, suppose somebody has a servant by name, say, Rama or Krishna, something like that, any name, holy name, one of the holy names, Rama or Krishna. And he's got a son also by the name Rama or Krishna, whatever it is. When he calls the servant, and when he calls the son, also, although the same word he is, by the same word he's calling, the mood is different, isn't it? When he calls the servant, he calls with a lot of arrogance in him. That's natural, isn't it? This is his servant. He's got, but when he calls his son, he calls with affection. So what does that mean? The name is the same, Krishna or Rama, whatever the name he has given to the two persons. What does that mean? It means that the bhavam or your mood is important when you pronounce something. And when you chant the holy name, when it comes to chanting the holy name, if you are calling Krishna in a mood that you are his servant, that's necessary. Otherwise, that chanting is not effective. That, so in everything, even the letters and the words may be the same, the mood has an important bearing in it. Similarly, when you are making an offering to the Supreme Lord, when you are offering something, if it is done with that full understanding that this is, I'm offering to Krishna with wholeheartedly, without any reservation, expecting anything in return, like Mahabali did. Mahabali, for this reason, is throughout Bhagavatam and in the other Puranas, is considered to be the most qualified candidate in Atmanivedanam, in offering things. So why we are not succeeding? The answer is simple. That our offering is not complete in its mood. In other words, when we offer to Krishna, we have to offer everything. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, Yal karoshi, yadasnasi, yajuhosi, dadasi yal, yattapasyasi kaundeya, tal kurushamadarpanam. Offer it to me, Krishna says. So when we start offering like that, everything in life to Krishna, in the way Mahabali has done to Lord Shiva, at some point in time, that will become a qualification for us in our spiritual life. That will qualify us to be placed by Krishna's. Krishna will reveal to you at that time what you have to know.
So because he did that, he remembered his conversation.
Obviously,
with Yamaraj.
Yes, that's right. So he was able to remember everything what Yamaraj has told him. That this is what you have got it and you can do. And because he said he was intelligent, he took the right decision. And what is available, best thing available in the heavenly planets, he looked at it and he decided, let me give it in charity right now. And to the qualified people, fortunately the great sages. That is how Kamadhenu came to Vasishtha Maharshi. In the Puranas it's mentioned also. So this Mahabali is, although we call him as the head of the demons and all that, he's not stupid, he is an intelligent person. You can see how he has utilized everything in his capacity to place Krishna at some point. The result was that they had to offer in the next Indra's position, in the next Manu's time. Mahabali comes as Indra.
Yeah, this is what I want, my second question was that Krishna gave him the position of Indra in the next Manu's lifetime because he had done virtually the 100 sacrifices.
Correct.
And it was just very similar to Dhruv Maharaj, whereby Dhruv Maharaj had the desire to be to succeed his father and grandfather.
Yeah.
So Krishna gave him, based on his sacrifices that he actually performed, that level of position, because sacrifices can't go in vain. So that's true.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, my third question is a little bit different. It's not related to the story. Is that when the Srimad Bhagavatam was actually recited, it was done in 7 days' time, and my impression was that it was done continually from, say, start of midnight all the way 7 days continuous, non-stop through the night. Yeah?
That's right.
But when the Brahmins actually do it in... I've heard this particular story in... Giri Govardhan, they recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. They do that from something like 7 o'clock in the morning to something like 6 o'clock at night, and they can complete it within in 7 days during that period.
Mm.
So are they just actually rattling like you are, just so fast without any pauses? Or is it with pauses that it does take 24 hours? You know, the way how we're actually speaking.
In the Srimad Bhagavatam, what we have in this book today is not the complete version of what Sudeva Goswami has spoken to Parikshit.
Okay.
It's not there. That is why I said in the beginning, yatha didam yatha amati, that whatever Sudeva Goswami has grasped from Sudeva Goswami, he has spoken to Shavanakarshi. So what is available with us is that Bhagavadam, what Shuddha has spoken to the sages in Naimisharanyam. And that is what we have got. So that is recited as a part of the Saptaham or 7 days when they read Srimad Bhagavadam. And that has been what has been always used for 7 days. It's possible to finish that in 7 days' time.
During the
daytime.
It's not the complete version of what...
No, it's not what fully spoken by Sudeva Goswami. Acharyas were not sent just to, like missionaries, they didn't come to preach the religion. That was not the goal behind it. Acharyas' due responsibility was to, depending on the particular time when they descended to this world, they brought, enlightened the people in the Vedic philosophy of life. When the Vedic knowledge comes down, the Acharyas brings it back. Like in the Kali Yuga also, what we find is that so many other processes, they come, and due to the effect of the materialistic consciousness, people tend to forget the principles of religion and also fall down from the true religious principles. So at that time, by Krishna's arrangement, the Acharyas come and they bring the knowledge from the Vedas and distribute it. That's all. Their intention is not purely they are not totally focused on increasing the number. In other words, what they are trying to do is bring the knowledge in the Vedic literature back to life again. Every one of them have done exactly the same thing, that this is what this particular age require, and this is what the Vedic literature is presenting to us. So they will bring that philosophy properly and present it to the world accordingly. That's all. That's what they've done.
Thank you,
Krishna.
Bali went to Indra for 1.5 hours and he gave away in charity. Why did the sages actually accept it? Because they knew that this was not this is a temporary situation. And the second part of the question is, when the sages come back at the end of the Kali Yuga, will there be a physical change, or there will be just a natural change that this will happen?
The changes will happen during the transition period. For example, if you divide 1,000 Chaturyugas by 14 Manus, it comes to 994. 71 times 14. 71 Chaturyugas for each Manu. And then there is 6 Chaturyugas left. It is during that time that all these changes happen. And when before the next Kriya Yugam begins, that's when that change happens. Well, physical changes means, yes, the qualities of Kali Yugam the qualities of Krita Yugam, Satya Yugam, will start coming back into this planet again. That means, what is Kali Yugam and Krita Yugam? Where is the difference? Difference is in the consciousness. If people become Krishna conscious or God conscious, and the four qualities of Satyam, Daya, Tapas and Dhanam, that means truthfulness, mercifulness, charity, and
austerity.
If these four qualities comes back into the human society, what does that mean? It means Kriya Yuga has begun again. Automatically our mind and intelligence will go in the right direction. Everything what is conducive or favorable for Kriya Yuga will start manifesting in the human society. So that's when Kriya Yuga begins. So the change happens at that time, during the last few chaturyugas, all these changes will happen. Now, when the Kriyayugam begins, it is the responsibility of the Manus and their administrators to bring this whole changes back and to make sure that it happens. Number two, Veda should come back to life again, what has been lost by them. That is also the responsibility of the seven sages, Saptarishis, they do that. Sacrifices should begin later on in the Tridayagam, sacrifices become also. So all the Vedic way of life will come back again at the appropriate time. It's all by arrangement. Krishna's arrangement is so perfectly organized in that way. That's one. The other question was that, what was the other question? Mahavali? Why accepted the charity in that condition? There is a rule in the charity that if charity is given, it should be accepted. And they couldn't refuse it. They are not. You have to always remember, these great personalities, like these great sages, everything. When Indra gives them charity, for them, Indra is the king. In the heavenly planets, Indra is the king. Saptarishis and everybody, their duty is to advise Indra about administration all through the way. And Indra, in response, offer them, being sages, charity in time. Whenever he wants to offer them, he can offer them, and they have to accept that. They can't refuse it. But the act of charity, normally, what would have expected from Mahavali when he went to the heavenly planets was, when he got in control, if any one of us were there, what would have done? We would have thought, oh, this is a first class, 5-star situation. We would have thought about enjoying it as best as we could. And that is why Mahabali is considered to be intelligent. Not one second he wasted in enjoying the heavenly planets. He set it up everything, came back again. Because he was not attracted to that sense gratification, the heavenly planet. And that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabali is glorified for this one important thing. That sense of making the right decision at the right time. Whereas normal people, when they go to heavenly planets and seeing the opulence there, they will think, oh, this is, even if it's for a few days, I don't mind. That'll be their attitude. But Mahabali was never once attracted by the opulence of the heavenly planets. So that's what that's about. Yes, yes.
So, how is it all of a sudden he got Lord Shiva's mercy? Was there a reason behind
it? In the Skanda Puranam doesn't say that. What I read was that Mahabali had some sugradam behind his life, in his previous lives. That when he woke up from the unconscious state, he was carrying these flowers to go to a prostitute, actually, to see a prostitute, because he was a gambler as well as a woman hunter. But when he had a change of heart at that particular point in time, that he decided that he should worship Lord Shiva seriously. And he started doing that, offering all the flowers, everything to Lord Shiva. That resulted in his even being not punished by the Yamaraja. So also in Puranam you will notice always that although there are reasons for everything, some reasons are unknown to us. Why it has happened? I'll give you an example. One devotee wrote to Prabhupada in one instance. A question asked. Prabhupada said that different acharyas came before and they presented different philosophies, Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam and everything. And now Mahaprabhu has come and spoken about the Ajindya Bhedabheda Tattvam. Why is it like this? The devotee asked Prabhupada, why is it like this Buddha, Lord Buddha had to come and throw away all the Vedic literature and brought non-violence in, and then later on Shankaracharya came and threw away Buddhism and brought Advaitam in. Like, why is it like this, he said. Prabhupada's answer, you should read, is the letter. In the letters you will see there. Prabhupada said that there are so many things what Krishna does, you may not know it today. Why it is like that? You can't ask that question. Krishna in his plans, Krishna has big, big plans in this administering so many universes, he's managing in different ways. And so many things when it happens, everything, you won't get an answer today. Why it has happen like that? Sometimes if this question is still bothering you very much, why it is, when you leave this world and get back to Krishna, you can always ask him, why did you do that in that way? That's the only thing you can say about that, because everything, if it was so black and white in Krishna's transcendental activities, transcendental pastimes as such, that you get some understanding of Krishna's control on us. This is what I was telling you before, that you can manufacture any religion you want in this world. You can make propaganda out of it and tell everybody, increase the number. But that's not going to work at the end. One day it will collapse also. As soon as you die and go, something else will happen and that will also die with you. So that's how it is. The ultimate control is there, not in us, our control. So Krishna's activities and Krishna's control in this world is so much done in on a long period of time, we will never understand everything, why it has happened. Correct, yes.
It was only due to intelligence alone, the Prahlad Maharaj, because Vaishnava's blessings also.
Also, yes. Mahabali, not only he was intelligent, that he learned, you see, look at Mahabali's intelligence, you can see in all different situations. When he lost the war to the demigods, Mahabali said he was not disappointed about it. Normally what we will do, well, we lost the war, now what can we do, we'll come back and sit here. But Mahabali said, no, if I work hard, and because he knew what is the process to follow. And he did not go into developing weapons to fight against the demigods like today we do, that we increase our weapon. No, he realized that to win the war, you need the mercy from the great personalities. That is what gets you the strength. So he immediately sensed that that's what I should do, rather than developing new technology. So what did he do? He straight away decided to please these great personalities, starting from Shukracharya onwards. All the Bhargava the lineage of the sages in the Bhargava Bhrigu's lineage, he started pleasing them by offering them everything what they were. If you please somebody of the greats, also shows that if you please great personalities, what they can do for you, you will not lose anything. That's a lesson from that. Whereas by your effort, no matter what you do, there's always a possibility that you may fail. At some point, you will lose the game. But great souls, when they are pleased, they can do what they need to be done. So their mercy is there. Prahlada's mercy is there. All these things means Krishna is guiding you from within in the right direction, which way to go all the time. Krishna has two aspects in us all the time, Vidya, Avidya, Swarupini. When Krishna is favorable, you will do things, everything in the right way. When Krishna is not favorable, you will start doing things, everything in the wrong way. This is how these two things are always inside. Krishna has two aspects of that. That's why I mentioned this before, that when Saparivaram Puja is performed in the big temples, when they offer to Krishna, Om Vidyaya Nama, first offering of flowers to Krishna, his deity is like that, and then followed by Om Avidyaya Nama. Yeah. So both Vidya and Avidya, knowledge and ignorance, are both coming from Krishna. Many people think ignorance is not coming from Krishna, only knowledge comes from Krishna. That's not true. Knowledge and ignorance both comes from Krishna. Only thing is, in which way we will operate or we will perform our activities, that depends on if Krishna is favorable to us. That is why when we do these deity worships and everything, we try to do it in such a way that always give me good intelligence. This is the prayers. What does this Gayatri Mantra we chant? What does that mean? Diyo Yona Prajodayal. What is this Diyo? Diyo means intelligence. Give me the good intelligence, give me the good intelligence, give me the good intelligence. This is all what we are praying. Because if Krishna favors, then your intelligence also will go in the right way. Otherwise, it will go, you may be intelligent, but only thing, it will go in the wrong direction. So what's the use? Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry. Yes.
And I was wondering about the actual religions that we have now, prominent religions. I know they're recent compared to Vedas, but actually, how they're manifested. Are they bona fide? Are they manifested? Or do Krishna say?
Yes. Krishna says, and question, my understanding is what you have asked me is that the other religious processes, are they bona fide? isn't it? That's the question, isn't it? Yes. The answer to that is that these different processes of religions have developed at different places in different circumstances. Okay. When Lord Jesus Christ, for example, when he preached Christianity to this world, it has saved a lot of people. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls as a savior of the Western world. And he had great good intentions also to elevate people in their life. That was the intention behind it. But the difficulty is that if you reject Vedas and if you do anything in the spiritual life, that will not sustain for too long. It will not be able to stay for long. There is, and that is the problem, that unless you follow the Vedic literature is the authority on the religious life in this world. And from time immemorial, that was always in control. But if you reject Vedic literature, and you, no matter how nicely you present, they had very good intentions, don't get me wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ and Prophet Muhammad, they all had good intentions of presenting religious life to this world. And the result was that, by their effort, they were able to bring people under a certain religious process. If they have not done that, these people probably would not have abided by any religious process. So they are under some religious tradition, at least the presence of God they accept, and they follow that to some extent, whatever they have been advised to. But the difficulty on the other side is that because they have rejected Vedic literature, that religious process will always find it very difficult to maintain its momentum. Like Prabhupada examples gives there, that Jesus Christ's instructions were good, but those instructions are not being followed at all by people who are claiming to be followers. And when they do not follow, what good is there? It's no point in paying 100 obeisances to Guru, but not listening to anything what he says. So that kind of following is no good. So real following is not paying obeisances. Real following is doing what he has asked us to do. That is the real following of somebody means. So this is where the difficulty comes. But Srimad Bhagavatam says, Shraddha Bhagavadam Shastre, if one wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, one should take seriously Srimad Bhagavatam. At the same time, Anindam Anyatra Javihi, that one should never ever offend any other religious process. Because you must remember, all this has come by Krishna's arrangement only. They have come to this world. And that must be helping some people in some conditions. It must be helping them. So that should never be condemned any time. They should be allowed to pursue that path. Whatever they are following, they should not be at any time criticized. Or their scripture should be subjected to any criticism. Because it has been written for a group of people with that certain mind and certain nature in them. That's all how much they can take it. So for them, that does good. Because if it's not there, they will again leave everything and become totally atheistic. So every religion has its own value. Nobody can deny that. But everything is also relative. If you want to fully understand Vedic religion, by Krishna's instructions, then you have to take to Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the message. Yes.
The fourth kind, you said, is the people who surrender to Krishna fully.
Yes.
My question is that, you know, how can we have that sort of faith straight away, you know, without going through the other people's faith first?
Yes.
You know, how can we, how, you know, I mean, at the moment,
yes. Majority of the people are like that, in that situation. That this knowledge of realization that surrendering to Krishna and taking Krishna's shelter is the ultimate goal, that realization can only come when you have total detachment to material world. Tivra Vairagyam it's referred to. That means you must be so detached and renounced from this world that you should feel the need to surrender to Krishna completely. everything is consciousness, your own mind, how the mind is progressing. So due to cultivating spiritual knowledge, this can develop. When you are developing spiritual knowledge, the process, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Bhakti, Jnanam and Vairagyam. So this Vairagyam will develop Jnanam, and Vairagyam and Jnanam together will develop Bhakti, devotion. And when the devotion develops strongly, then all the various things in this world becomes less significant or important to us. So as much as then, till that happens, you have to go on practicing Krishna consciousness, and you have to give time for that. That constantly one should develop Krishna consciousness in such a way and pray to Krishna that you develop the necessary detachment to this world. Because due to attachment only all these problems are coming. That at the moment, no doubt about it, that we are all aware that one day we will die and go from here. But still, like Vishnu Maharaj said, we have so much concern about the family and society and everything. So that is a kind of ignorance that is in our consciousness. That's not leaving us. And that will go only when Krishna wants that to happen. That's why Krishna's mercy is necessary in the spiritual life to succeed. The jnanis, they come to that state realization by cultivating spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge cultivation means that they have tremendous detachment, renunciation in their heart. Added to that, they study those shastra which is related to, which will give them that impetus to search after the truth. For example, in the olden days, not nowadays, I don't know much about it, even today to some extent, but in the olden days, many, many seekers of the truth who are following the Vedic tradition, they will give up their family life at an early age and move on to places like Himalayas, where the great sages lived, and in their association, they will practice the austerities and penances necessary. Because why did they do that? Because the reason for that was that the desire for liberation was so strong in their heart. So if a desire develops like that, automatically you will act also accordingly. But today we don't have that desire. Why? Because lack of knowledge, lack of the influence of the lower modes of nature, attachment to the various objects in this world, everything is a contributing factor to that. So the only thing you can say is that renunciation is a most important factor in this. Jnana Vairagyam, I think it is in the first canto itself, it is there that, forget that now, where Sudeva Goswami says to Parikshit in the beginning that Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashyandi Almani Chalmanam Bhaktya Shrutagrahidayam. That what will happen is, he says, that when simultaneously you are developing renunciation, Shruta Grihidaya, that by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Vairagyam will come. Renunciation will come strongly. And what is the result of that? The result of that will be that knowledge will come up. Because only in a renounced mind, spiritual knowledge will develop. When somebody is very attached to material way of life, it is not possible to cultivate spiritual knowledge. Because these two things don't go side by side. So something, some point in time, one has to break down. The other one has to get stronger. And when that renunciation comes, then you are thinking, nothing in this world is important for me anymore. All this so-called family, job, money, everything has become valueless for you. And that is a stage one reaches sometimes when one becomes very, very serious about it. So everything is depending on that success in the spiritual life. So you can see, unless Krishna is favorable, all these things may not happen. That's why constantly we have to pray to Krishna that to give us that right intelligence and right understanding.
Yes.
So that's fine. But on the other hand, he had this desire to control all the planetary systems, and that's why he went to please the elevated souls, right? So why did when he lost that war, why didn't he just say, well, this is Krishna's arrangement? Why do I want to control 14 planetary systems?
Yes. Now, that's a good question, because you must understand Mahabali's mind. Mahabali is not in the pure mode of goodness. That's the first problem. Mahabali is very much infected with passion and ignorance. Because Mahabali comes from that race of demons where he had these lower modes of nature. You will see in the next chapter something more interesting is coming. On the one hand, Mahabali is doing a lot of things to conquer the heavenly planets. And at the same time, Mahabali is performing sacrifices also. This is what put Krishna into problem. That if Mahabali was simply causing problem, it was not difficult. Krishna said to Aditi Devi, I can't do anything about this. Because on the one hand, he is very materialistic. On the other hand, he is performing spiritual activities also. So side by side, these two things are going on. So both has to show its result. That means when he performed the materialistic activities, if you are simply a demon, only doing demoniac things, Krishna says it's no problem. I can kill him straight away. But on the other hand, he has got also the other account running well. The balance, the other credit card is doing well. So he got into problems. And Aditi Devi, when she said this to Krishna, Krishna said to Aditi Devi, I cannot do anything about it. Let me think about it something, I'll find a solution. That is how that discussion finished with Aditi Devi. So you can see that Mahabali, everyone are under the three modes of nature. And depending on your mind, you will act. Now, for a person advancing in spiritual knowledge, he has to kill these lower modes of nature. Because lower modes of nature can come back any time in you and change the whole flow from one to another. Like we were talking about this in the last churning the milk ocean. What was happening there? That when, you see, studying Srimad Bhagavatam just for the sake of stories is useless. That is not what is intended to be. It is intended to be to understand what is Vedavyasa Maharshi telling us through all these things. This is where the commentator's commentary helps us to understand why these things are important. Now, inside our own mind, on one hand, we have got the demons. On the other side, we have got the demigods. Fighting inside this, our own mind. Like, for example, the qualities associated with the demigods. What is that? Satyam, Ahimsa, I'll say. Truthfulness. Truthfulness, non-violence, Brahmacharyam, Asteyam, God consciousness. These are all divine nature. Bhagavad Gita clearly says that, isn't it? These things are there in us, a little bit. Ragam, Dvesham, Bhayam, Krodham, Madham, Malsaryam, the different kinds of envy, lust, anger, greed, all these kinds of are also there. These two are fighting all the time inside. More or less, you can say 70-80% this side is winning all the time. The other side is losing. You're trying very hard, but it's not winning. This side is always winning. So, Bhagavatam is saying that in the story of churning the milk ocean, what it says is that this Mandara mountain, what you are taking for churning, is nothing but your Prarabdha Karma. Prarabdha Karma is what you are living now. This whole body has come from that. Prarabdham is the cause behind it. So, from when you are experiencing this Prarabdha Karma, what one should do is that one should learn to think in this way, that somehow or the other, I should use this Mandara mountain called Prarabdha Karma to develop the divine side of life, divine nature in me. That means this good qualities, what we are talking. If you don't do that, the others will overpower. Now, how that works is, in this constant, one side the demons, the other the demigods, they are churning this milk ocean called mind, or chittam. There are four things. Mind, intelligence, false ego. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, and chittam. Fourth one. I'll explain what that means separately. Now, these things are constantly fighting each other. And in all these four things, Krishna is manifested in one form. Vasudeva, Sankrishna, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. These four personalities are present in these four aspects in the body. Now, when these are fighting each other, the situation develops later on that you are not able to escape from this anyway, because all the time lower modes of nature is affecting you and you are victimized by the thing. But somehow or the other, if you have understood the churning of the milk ocean story there and followed the path what was given by the demigods, one day you will realize it that I should stick to the demigods' philosophy of following their principles. If you do that, you will see the difference. Little by little, so many good things will come out from that by following these principles. What are the good things? For example, it says different siddhis. Siddhis means mystic powers will develop. Secondly, opulences will increase. Third, beauty and health will improve. All these things are results from that. Just like when the churning milk ocean was churned, you got a lot of valuable things like Airavadam, Uchaishravas, and Kamadhenu and all that. In the Mahalakshmi, like that, all these things will come out by doing this. But the last thing what you will get out of that is the nectar. And what is that nectar? The nectar is spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge will develop. But even after developing spiritual knowledge, if you are not careful, what will happen is this demonic nature will again come back and start pulling you down. So what Srimad Bhagavatam is saying is that through this pastime, Vedavyasa Maharshi is telling us that in yourself you have to change all these things. You have to take control of the situation and start becoming serious about it. That means how to control the lower modes of nature. One should start developing that practice of the lower modes of nature. If one does that, in due course one will find that the lower modes of nature have come, or the mind has come under control. So bringing the mind under control is the whole goal of all these things. If we do not do that, what will happen is we will fall further and further into the demonic spaces. We'll fall down, slip down into that. So that is that Bhagavatam story is telling us from this. Now, what was the question? I forgot now. Bali Maharaj was. Bali Maharaj was acting under these modes of nature. You can. That is why it has happened. Okay, we'll stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. It's great.